Blog Talk Radio.
Be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports Index.
And if I may say that the Sports In-Depth Nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good Doc.
We have with our theme song, Cool in the Gang, Summer Madness. And it is like a little Summer Madness around here because there was talk of warmer weather and all weekend. There was talk of May is here, the Black March. The those summer days, like weather, didn't come about just yet. Always love the madness theme as it think about what the laser. 88, 90, something every day, no humidity. I'm telling you, Sports at Block Talk Radio on the Trust and God Radio Network. And it's going to be a maddening summer. The Knicks don't straighten up and get a win tonight. They are one game down in their playoff hope. Angels are gone. Not doggone, as Marvin Gaye said, but long gone. Open up the show, as we always do, with M. Crook. Then we got G.W. Mike, Danny Football, Artistic Artie. We talk about football with Danny Football, and why in the world are there some people in these Hall of Fame shouldn't be there? And I think the worst of all inductions is the one that they call the Boxing Hall of Fame. But before we go, let's open up with Sam Cooke and then a prayer, and then Oxtown Sports have Talking Boxing. G-Dub, Artie, and Danny Football on a Tuesday here. Sports and Death, Live Talk Radio, Trust in God Red Network. My favorite gospel singer, and the guy who actually was the avenue gospel singers come into what they call circular music. M. Crook, after this plug, we'll do something for us, and then we'll be talking.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
And before I get to Sam, real quickly, I just want to give all shout-outs to birthdays this month, whomever, wherever. This will be a big month for birthdays, too. Talking about boxing. Wow. May 3rd, Sugar Ray Robinson. May 13th, along with Stevie Wonder, Joe Louis. May 17th, Sugar Ray Leonard. The 11th, Mark Breland. I believe the 9th of this month is also Iran, the Blade Barkley. So kind of apropos as we talk a little boxing, to remember those guys in their birthday, Miles Davis, who was a tremendous, one of the greatest trumpeters of all time, but he was a tremendous welterweight that people thought it could have been a contender and champion caliber. But Miles Davis's move in boxing, that was he who told Sugar Ray Robinson on a night that he thought it was done. Let it go. Doc Stanley, Sports Depth, Live Talk Radio on Trust Gov Network. And I promise you, Sam Cook.
The gathering throng, and while she was pushing her way through, someone asked her, "What are you trying to do?" She said, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole." She cried, no more to spare. The doctors, they done all they could, but their medicine would do no good. When she touched him, the Savior didn't see, but still he turned around and cried, "Somebody touch me." She said, "It was I who just want to touch the hem of your garment. I know I'll be made whole right now." She stood there crying, "Oh, oh, 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 and oh, 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 Lord, and oh, 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 oh." Said, "If I could just touch the hem of your garment, I know I'll be made whole right now."
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. You're listening to Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. Before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports in Depth.
Legendary Larry Hardesty, ESPN leaders, and it's prayer time. Before we open the show, God, it's always better to follow you than to run from your will. But even if, like Jonah, I am in great trouble due to my wanderings, I know that you will hear the cry of the truly penitent heart. We are all often in need of undeserved deliverance. A hymn writer and author of Rock of Ages, August Taplady, put it, I am a debtor to mercy alone. Amen. Doc Stanley, Sports in the Block Talk Radio, Touch Radio, GW Make, Artie Danny Football. Let's go, gentlemen. Shoot him in. Let's talk boxing. Let's talk football. GW. Gentlemen?
I'm here, Doc. Paul's
yeah, okay.
Here.
Where's Artie? Where's Danny Football?
Artistic Artie.
We're here.
Okay. Well, okay. Start talking.
So, we're talking about the Boxing Hall of Fame. We're talking about guys that should be in and should not be in. We're thinking about Arturo Gatti, Doc.
Gatti.
Your opinion, you
know,
he should be in.
When they talk about these Hall of Fames, they always try to, you know, deviate from just ability alone. My thing is ability alone should be there. Gatti was a champion inside out the ring. Gatti was close to my heart. I loved him dearly. I saw him by the grace of God and the Savior Jesus grow into a champion. He nurtured in the Old Felt Forum. I saw him there the night he beat Tracy Patterson. And understand, Tracy Patterson, the son of Floyd Patterson, they became the first set of sons, only followed secondly by the Chavez family, to win world championships. And he beat Tracy. And then his first defense, he was losing big time, came up like the champ. You know, bases loaded, team down by 3 runs, bam, grand slam home run. Knockout, carried himself like a champion. I mean, I see him now coming through the press room at the Garden and at a college basketball game, and I hugged him. The way he dressed, hey, man, so proud of you. You carry like a champ, yourself like a champion. And, yeah, from what is in the Boxing Hall of Fame, he should be there. And if not, my opinion from the way I would pick the guys that should be there, he'd be one of the guys. A champion in and outside the ring. You know, I remember when he was going to fight Mayweather, and there was some talk about the fight being done, and the great Buddy McGirt, who ironically was an outstanding, great champion. But he said he always wanted to be a trainer. Buddy said, you remember what he said at the press conference? He said, you know what? We will fill Atlantic City with or without him. Okay? With or without him, Mayweather. You know, and the Gatti fight was the first pay-per-view fight for Mayweather in Atlantic City.
Well,
you know, it was Gatti who put him pay-per-view. Maybe they put each other. Well, actually, I know not that Gatti, because Gatti fought me or you, he would sell out Atlantic City. And main event, you take a hat off to the lovely Kathy Duva, you know, who nurtured him, and Buddy, who too. You know, taught an old dog new tricks. I read something the kids in the kiddie thing. They said, you know, it said you can teach your old dog new tricks with dog treats. And whatever it was, he added a little dimension to Gatti that made him, in my opinion, a great champion. You know, great fighter. Oh, not a great fighter if you talk about Ray Robinson and guys like that, but a great champion. And undeservedly, under Doc Stanley's rules, yes, a champion. And by today's standards, no question, a champion. A Hall of Famer. I mean, because in and everybody's in the Hall of Fame now. In and everybody. You know, today, in today's standards across the board, you don't have to be great. You just have to be very good for a good little time. Not even for a long time. You just have to be very good for a good little time, and all of a sudden you're a Hall of Famer.
So
Gatti, yes.
Allison?
Yes. Founding, yes.
You put Diego Corrales in.
I don't know about Diego. You know, great fight. Again, a guy that I was blessed by the good Lord to meet, you know, just before his untimely death. I don't know. I mean, by today's standards, I guess, by my standards, I don't know. But my standards, unequivocally, Gatti's a Hall of Famer. But in today's market, yeah, okay. I was blessed by the good Lord to be part of the initial panel that we got the ballot every year and we selected. And I understand there was a horde of guys because they had no Boxing Hall of Fame. I remember my dear friends, Paulette and Robbie Bruno, one of the top photographers, and they were up at the Hall of Fame when it first opened up, very minute place. And Paulette turned to her beloved Robbie and said, you know, Mel has more stuff than this. Ed Brophy, don't have a lot of respect for Ed, nice guy and all that stuff, but to not have the likes of Art Rush Jr., greatest boxing mind of his time outside of Marion Borkin, greatest boxing show of all time. I mean, if you could put Sylvester Stallone in there, Art Rush should be there, Marion Borkin should be there, and Harold Weston, the only black matchmaker in the history of Madison Square Garden, and considered by many to be the greatest matchmaker, you know, supplanting Teddy Brenner, you know, who said that. So, and then, you know, I was part of the selection panel. I left the Boxing Writers of America. And a couple of years, I wouldn't get no, well, so, Ed, what happened to my, oh, you know, what it came down to, if you were no longer a member of the Boxing Writers of America, all of a sudden, you weren't deemed good enough to vote on the people who got in. But at that time, the credibility of the Boxing Hall of Fame, to me, had started to slip. There's just too many guys in there. Now, you asked about Jermaine Taylor. Yeah, you know, yep. Jermaine Taylor should be. You know, the Boxing Hall of Fame has gotten like to be the Basketball Hall of Fame. There's a selection of names, the guys who are eligible, of course, of retirement, and you just pick the guys off that list, the best guys off that list. I mean, there are guys in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Paul Pierce is not a Hall of Famer, okay, in the same breath of Bob Pettit. Bob Pettit. 26-16 lifetime Bob Pettit. You talk about power forward? Don't run this bullshit on me about Tim Duncan is the greatest power forward of all time with 19 points and 10 rebounds. Really? You know what Bob Pettit's numbers was? I'd like to see Mr. Pettit again. Bob Pettit's numbers was 26-16 lifetime. 26-16 lifetime. Okay? And he was a starter on every All-Star game he played in. Him, Jerry West, and Dr. J. Irving were starters in every All-Star game they played in. Okay? That's the Hall of Famer. Okay? There's other guys. I remember there's a guy. I'm not going to name him. But he was doing his acceptance speech. He broke down and started crying. I said, I know why he's crying. He's grateful to God, you know, to be there because he's not a Hall of Famer in the same breath of Oscar and West and Frazier, Monroe, Jordan, Clyde Drexler, Magic Johnson, Kobe Bryant. So, you know, it's like every year the Basketball Hall of Fame picks a certain amount of names, and you know, every now and then they get it right. You know, you get one or two guys that should be in there. Reggie Miller, okay, he should be there. I think they had the special thing for Kobe. There's no question Kobe should be there. But, yeah, hey, Jermaine Taylor, his claim to fame is beating Bernard Hopkins twice, and Hopkins lost, as G.W. Mike always says, you know, looking good and losing. Wow, I got to put that one down, boy. Looking good and losing. But then he turns around and gets beat by Kelly Pavlik. You know, and Emmanuel said they kind of overestimated, but Emmanuel, I remember watching that fight at ringside, and one of Emmanuel Stewart's cornermen that worked with Lennox Lewis was saying that Emmanuel told Jermaine, when you back up, don't back up straight. Don't walk backwards. And bam, he did it. And he lost the fight. But and in today's climate, Jermaine Taylor is the Hall of Famer. He lost a couple of fights at the end of the fight where he should have won. But in today's climate, yeah. In my mind, no. But in today's climate, Gotti, in my mind, yes. Jermaine Taylor, no. Corrales, no. But in today's climate, why yes.
I got one for
you. Dr. Sports Net, Blog Talk Radio, Touch the Governor. It is a Tuesday. Last time we had it on a Monday. Now we're moving the week up Tuesday. It's GW Mike. It's Artie, the awful Artie, and Danny Football. Come on, gentlemen. Let's swing it.
How about Vernon Forrest?
Again.
How about Gerald McClellan? Gerald McClellan.
Gerald McClellan.
Here's a guy. Here's a guy that the referee should have been banned from boxing after that.
Oh,
you know,
God.
You know, the referee should have been banned from boxing after that. How did you let – you're talking about hometown decision. You know, Taylor wins that fight, and he's not invalid. You know, deservedly wins that fight. He was en route. He was – I remember – when he fought him and Junior Jackson, and the great story written by the legendary boxing columnist and writer, host of the greatest boxing show of all time, Marion B. Boykin, Black Bodacious Boy, Meet Me in the Middle. Jermaine Taylor, in the terms from the street, man, was a motherfucker. Dynamite in both hands, had some boxing skills. He had knocked his, I forgot his name, out the ring. Out the ring. I mean, it was just sad and touching. One of the classic lines of Harold Wesson, the renowned matchmaking master, so it got sad and touching. That was allowed to happen. That was allowed to happen, and you see what happened. I mean, you know, I tell, hey, man, you know, you cannot ever referee another fight again in life. That was just sad. But Jermaine McClellan was en route. He was at that moment in his career, he was a Hall of Fame fighter. Yeah. You know, and that's two guys in my, you know, in the Doc Staley vernacular, and Gotti, Hall of Famers. But Vernon Forrest, Corrales, you know, Jermaine Taylor, you know, it's you know, in today's market, you know, because I'm saying, you know, Artie, Danny Football, Gino, it's not selecting the best. It's selecting the best from the list that you have.
Well, Doc, touching on Corrales, yeah. You know, he beat Casamayor, who was a really good champion at the time. He came back and had the knockout against Castillo, who was a champion at the time, and gave Mayweather his hardest fight.
You know what, Artie? Okay, bomb. He's in. You know what? What was his record?
Greatest. Any
Danny Football.
It's Danny Football here, Doc. And he knocked
out. Okay,
you
know what? In second thought, I'll go with him. Go ahead, Danny Football.
Yeah. So him. So Corrales, and then my other one would be Marlon Starling.
Mookie should be there.
Knocked out Freeland.
In the era of the last students
Diamond
of the game.
Diamond Brown twice, you know.
Well, okay, are we going to forget Mark Freeland? How he got the title? Good son. Are we going to forget Mark Freeland? One of the last truly, that era, you know, Weston was in that era, Lenny was in that era, of that era of a really astute. But yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. And he's a Hall of Famer on my list. And I don't understand why he's not already, which shows the lunacy of Brophy and company not to have him there. I mean, you put enough names on the list every year. So now you're starting wondering if it's personal, you know.
And then there's another.
You know, you're just wondering. But you have to understand that people in charge of these things have no sense of history or no sense of credibility, you know, a lot of it probably. I mean, how is he not there? I think, you know, your brother has long championed for him. And like I said, what's in there, he's better what's in there, or at least the equal of them, so he should be in there. Yeah, Starlings, I'm going with Starlings. I got to check Corrales' record. But, yeah, I'm going with Starlings. Mm-hmm. I'll go with
that. I would say with guys like Mancini are in there, and I love Ray. I think he was exciting.
You guys, am I losing my volume? What you guys? Are you guys coming in? Okay.
Can you hear me, Doc?
Yeah. I can hear you. It seems you're coming in kind of low, though. But go ahead.
So, like Boom Boom Mancini's in there, and he was a tough fighter, don't get me wrong. Maybe a spectacle on TV in some ways that Gaddy was, but nowhere near the fighter like a Breland or a Starling. And
but he was a champion in an era where boxing still had quality guys. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of pushovers. Lorenzo Arguello, I saw his first fight in the Garden with my wife, Jiminy's beloved mother, Margie, and just a champion outside the ring also. A champion outside the ring also. You know what I mean?
Ramirez. He had a big win over.
Yeah, okay. I got it, Edgar. I got the call. 10-4, thanks. Edgar. Yeah, hold on. I got Edgar here. Edgar. I got some thoughts here. What's the update on that Knicks game?
What's up, fan? I think the Knicks are really lucky that they're able to pull out a victory, struggling against the Heat, down three men.
So,
I think the Knicks are really lucky. They got to try to take one in Miami.
Okay, so they won tonight, but I believe did Randle play tonight?
Yeah, everybody played for the Knicks. The Knicks were down 6 at one point in the fourth quarter. They were able to hit three pointers, which they struggled for most of the game. I think they were 16 for 40 in the 3-point line. They're really lucky that they were able to play defense and hit 3-point lines in the fourth quarter.
No, it says that luck is the residue of hard work. So, did Butler play?
Butler did not play.
Wow, that's close. You know,
it's impressive that we're able to stay this close.
Well, you know what? If we look at it, I got the Ed Jett here with us, along with Danny Football, D.W. Mike, and Arthur Artie. Yeah, but you know what? If Randle plays that first game, the Knicks win that game, and they're up 2-0. I think if Randle's in that game, they win that game, that first game.
You could be right. Yeah, that could have happened.
I know you're a little sophomore.
He wouldn't be healthy if he played that game. So who knows if he would have a negative impact on
him. We're going by the mindset that he didn't play because he wasn't healthy. So we're going by if he was healthy. And tonight I call you Ed Nett instead of Ed Jett. So, we're going by this, surmising that he's healthy. He wins that game. You know, Butler was healthy, so that evens out. And they're up 2-0. Now, they've assured themselves of not being swept. They'll play 2 in Miami, so they assured themselves of coming back home. But, so now we've got that done, hockey-wise. We had the cutthroat move, the Islanders against the Rangers. They're going. Rangers lost after winning the first two games. But, okay, now, do we have any score yet on that L.A. and Golden State game?
I haven't started yet because they're waiting for the Knicks to finish. Because Miami Heat cut it down to 3 points. They were up 8. The Knicks were up 8 at one point a few seconds ago. Now they're down 3 with 12 seconds to go. Up 3 with 12 seconds to go.
Okay, so the Knicks up 3 with 12 seconds to go. We're live. Ed Nett, we're going to hold on a second so he'll give us the final on that. So right now, who has the ball, Ed Nett?
The Knicks have the ball. Miami just fouled. I believe Miami's gonna keep on fouling to get the Knicks on the free throw line for 2. Now it's up by the Knicks by 4.
Okay, and is there another free throw to be made?
Yes, one more.
Okay, live from the Garden, Ed Nett here on Sports and Depth, Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Garden Network, waiting for the second free throw. Who's on the line? Waiting for that second free throw. That would give him a 5-point lead in Prime Economy.
Hart is on the line.
Okay.
Sorry. He just made the second free throw.
Five-point lead, 3 seconds left to go. Knicks up, looking to even the series, go to Miami where they'll play 2, but they've assured themselves of one thing, not being swept, and assured themselves of coming back home. So if they find themselves in the 3-1 hole, they got a chance to come back home. And then do it. Well, okay. We're here, Ed Nett instead of Ed Jett tonight. GW Mike, the Awful Artie, and Danny Football here. Dr. Stanley Sports and Depth, Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Garden Network. And on Sunday, Mr. Curry became the first player to score 50 points in his 7th game. And the Warriors and the Lakers, what everybody wanted to see television-wise, we're in the closing seconds of a hopeful Knick victory. 12 seconds left to go. Knicks up by 5. Ed Nett is there. Ed Nett, how are we going? What's happening now?
The Miami Heat missed a 3 with 8 seconds to go. Knicks got the rebound. Miami fouled. Knicks missed the first of 2 free throws.
Okay, so we're looking to make it a 6-point lead with 8 seconds left to go.
And they made the second free throw. They're up by 6 with 4 seconds to go.
Okay, we'll get the final seconds here. Ed Nett from the Garden, Knicks trying to tie this series up, and we will get the finalization in just a second. Well, it should be a few seconds. And is it done, Ed Nett?
Not yet.
Okay. Doc Stanley Sports Network, Blog Talk Radio, Touching God Network. Yesterday, the Rangers, after a 2-0 lead, four games in a row, they lost to the Islanders. Hockey hell for them. They're out of the playoffs. And the Islanders had lost the night before. They're gone. So two of the three teams are gone. And the Devils out of New Jersey, well, they're in the area anyway. If we have a New York Jets and the New York Giants playing Jersey, I guess we can consider the Jersey Devils as part of New York here. Doc Stanley Sports Network, Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Government Network. It is the Knicks looking to even the series. They got a 6-point lead with 4 seconds left to go. Ednett will give us the latest. Ednett, is it done yet?
No, Miami took a timeout with 4 seconds there. They're fighting. I don't know how they're going to tie up the game in 4 seconds, but, you know, they're fighting. They got heart, as most Miami Heat teams do. But we should be done here shortly.
Okay, and as Floyd Mayweather once said, GW Knight, as far as boxing, he said, heart can get you killed in this game. So this one's about over unless a miracle happens. We're going to keep Ednett there live for us as we go back to.
And it's over.
Okay, give me a final score.
111-105.
Mm-hmm. Knicks over Miami, and they'll be playing again on Thursday in Miami, correct?
They're actually playing Saturday in Miami. They're taking quite a few days off.
Wow, how advantageous that can be for everybody, especially Miami and Randall, who can heal a little better. But wow, wow, wow.
We have a 3:30 star on Saturday, May 6th, and then we have a game 4 on Monday, May 8th.
Okay, May 6th. So, and you know, you lead us into a good segue. May 6th is the birthday of the greatest all-around baseball player in baseball history, the incomparable, the legendary, by the grace of God, Sir Willie Mays. And also May 6th, G-Dub, Artie, and Danny, you know, we've got Canelo's fighting on Saturday. Any boxing thoughts there, G-Dub? Or Ednett, real quick, while we still got you, who you liking, Canelo?
I think he
probably gets it around
the
6th round.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, 6 or 7. Tune up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the thing with Canelo is that Canelo. Well, no, he's going up in weight, but he's picking. I say, G-Dub, Artie, he's picking the least affordable of whoever's there. If there's three champions, you can be assured that the guy he picked is not the best of the three. I think he may be the big name in boxing, but I just don't think he is a great fighter. I think he's very good. I think in a lot like Mayweather, he's in a position where he's the name that brings finance and some sort of romance to the mindset of some of the people in boxing. As we know, he did lose. He went up and fought the wrong guy and lost against the Russians. So that's two losses on his slate along with Mayweather. So when he's fought elite talent, he hasn't won, in my estimation. Any argument here from anybody? When Canelo has fought elite talent, he hasn't won. Any argument or any rebuttal? Anybody here?
I think Triple G beat him in that first fight.
And I think Triple G was over on the rest of them.
I mean, it took him 4 years for a rematch, but, you know, given Canelo 10-2 for one of those rounds against Triple G on first fight, it's just, I don't know.
I have no idea where that came. I think Canelo's a good fighter, a really good fighter. I think when you stack him up against middleweights and super middleweights from the past, he's just not there. You know, guys like James Toney, et cetera, just.
Yeah, James Toney, Roy Jones Jr. Well, you know, guys, how tall is Canelo?
He's only about 5'10", 5'11".
No, he's about.
Okay, well, that's not too bad. He's not like Cotto was. Cotto was really too short. Yeah, you know, he's got big. Dr. Sandy Sports, the Block Talk Radio, Church of God Network. You Knicks fans, you can sleep in peace. They won, and they won't play again until Saturday, so it gives everybody time to heal. Unfortunately, it also gives Jimmy Butler time to heal. Should have won that first game. So Golden State against the Lakers. The matchup, Ali Frazier, Ray Robinson, Jake LaMotta, Jermaine Taylor, Bernard Hopkins. Wow. That's what's happening later on from out on the West Coast. And so the final here that the Knicks have won, and Ed Nett gave us that one. He has a dual thing. It's Ed Nett, Ed Jet. So he's gave us the inside scoop from the Garden. Knicks big win, short of coming back to the Garden with a chance to, they went two down there to close it out. Or the chance to get back in the mix. If nothing else, from a financial standpoint of view, the Garden's happy because they'll get a third game regardless. Dr. Sandy Sports Network, Block Talk Radio on the Trust in God Network. Canelo is fighting on Saturday. Doesn't seem to be like a whole lot of hoopla. I should have did that. Happy birthday, Willie Mays, too. I got to put that in here, too. Dr. Sandy Sports Network, Block Talk Radio, Trust in God Network. And, gentlemen, we're talking boxing. We're talking football. Let's go. Let's keep the questions coming. Keep the questions coming. Going to keep you on hold there, too. Ned, if you want. You're here if you want us. If not, you can always call back in. Your call.
Yeah, I'll see you.
Okay, good. All right, let's go, gentlemen. Let's talk it.
I got another question. On the first, second, third place ranking, we were talking about who should be in the Hall of Fame or not. My question is, what was a bigger win on record? Do you think Vernon Forrest beating Mosley twice or Jermaine Taylor beating Bernard Hopkins twice?
Oh, no question. It's Vernon Forrest. Vernon Forrest. You know, because you had. I think
Mosley's first loss.
I was there by the grace of God. I was there, and people were saying, "Well, wow, you know." But that's where he married the guy's like, "Well, who's Vernon Forrest?" Well, after that fight, you knew who Vernon Forrest. It was sad and touching. G-Dub using the term from our beloved Hal Weston, where he got shot. You know what I mean? At the gas station, and it was just—I remember that he was. I remember in fact, he was at. I tell you what, when they at the Thurman Munson dinner, if I'm correct, he was there along with Mario Rivera, and the PR guy asked me, "Who's that?" So that's Vernon Forrest, you know. And he made a name for himself beating Shane, and then he solidified himself as a legitimate champion and outstanding fighter. Shane Mosley is one of the great lightweights of all time. You know, the greatest lightweight of all time is Roberto Duran, bar none. But Shane Mosley, when you talk about great lightweights, he's there. Arguello, Camacho, Benny Leonard, he was there. And Roy Jones Jr. talked about it. He said, you know, we need to take a timeout, a deep breath, and inhale this guy and see and recognized with a great champion. You know, Shane Mosley understood. I call him the mercenary of boxing. He understood going up in weight and going to the weight class where the money was. Now, I didn't think he beat Oscar the first time, but, you know, he understood, you know, if I'm, you know, I can make money, add a few pounds on, and he did. He solidified himself as one of the great lightweights and a Hall of Fame fighter, well, either way, my Hall of Fame or their Hall of Fame, and a tremendous person, as most boxers are. Most boxers are just some of the greatest people you're going to meet. You know, their humbleness, their accessibility to interviews and autographs and pictures. And I remember Ollie Dunlap said, you know, Sugar Ray Leonard understood what it meant to be a champion. If you wanted Ray there at 6 o'clock, Ray's there at 5. You know, sign 50 autographs, sign 100. Take 10 pictures, take 20. You know what I mean? And, you know, here's a guy who didn't know. Ray didn't want to fight. Ray only fought to make some money to, I think, for his father's hospital bill or something. And I always said, you know, you take your head off the radio. He came back and married Juanita. He was a star. He came back and married Juanita. But it was one of those things, you know, Wally Pep got hurt and Lou Gehrig came in and he never came out the game again. So, you know, Ray Leonard, one of the great champions of all time, you know, but a guy that really wasn't looking to make boxing career. Sugar Ray Robinson said the same thing, you know, it was just about, you know, some way to make money. You know, Ray, he dreamed he beat the fighter, called the fight off. They called in a priest. They called in a minister. And they said, Ray, you know, is this a dream? And I forgot the guy's name real quickly. Ray, you did kill him.
Jimmy Doyle.
The guy was fighting to get some money to buy his mother a house, and what Ray Robinson did. There's two things I remember about that. Three things. He told his mother, you know, he didn't mean to do it. He said after that, to show how good he is, from now on, I'm only going to fight good enough to win. And then he also, the guy who he killed, he brought the guy's mother a house that he was going to do. Walker Smith Jr.
Jimmy Doyle killed him in the ring. The fighter that he killed in the ring was Jimmy Doyle.
Yeah, Jimmy Doyle. Yeah, that name is Kate. Yeah, I knew Jimmy Doyle, yeah. And, Walker Smith Jr. Dr. Sandy's wasn't there. Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Government Network. Yeah, Vernon Forrest. I was at both fights because everybody said, wow, who's this guy? After the second fight, he said, oh, Vernon Forrest is who he is. You know, hey, where would he go? Hey, that's the Lone Ranger in Tunnel. First time, who's that masked man? When he came back again, they knew, oh, that's the Lone Ranger. Great fighter, great guy. And it was sad and touching. Is Howard Weston, the great matchmaker, Master of Garden, and an outstanding welterweight himself. In fact, he won the MSG welterweight title, you know, and how he was killed, you know. It's always tragic in those kind of situations like that, man, you know. Constantly showing man's humanity to man. Dr. Dennis, what's the Blog Talk Radio, Trust God Network? You Knicks fans, you can sleep well tonight. The Knicks won. They won't be playing again until Saturday. You basketball fans, hey, Ali Frazier, Jake LaMotta, Sugar Ray Robinson, it's Gotti Mayweather, the Golden State Warriors against the Los Angeles Lakers. Steph Curry, his other slash brother, Thompson. And you know the thing I thought the other day about that team, they're the sons of basketball. Thompson's father played basketball. We know Curry's father played basketball, and they have Gary Payton's son on that team. So the sons of B-ball. I was at my barber, Panama, who does a great commercial for us, too. And, in fact, you know, Panama, come on into Panama.
Hi, this is Panama from Beauty and Barbershop Andres, located in the Bronx, New York, 27B, 175th Street. Hola, este es Panama, de Beauty Barbershop Andres, ubicado aquí en el Bronx, en la calle 175. Venga y vea su barbero, el gran Panamá. Doc Stanley, Sports in the Blog Talk Radio, on the Christian Guard Radio Network, Doc Stanley and the Posse, Panama. That's the place to be.
Yeah, Panama brought us in there because I was watching the game, and he told me, you know, that's Gary Payton. So Michael Thompson, Gary Payton, and, of course, Steph Curry. I got a pair of Steph Curry's sneakers in my collection. And, you know, he was a great shooter. They had a hell of a team. He was at the guard, Larry Johnson at the center, and Alonzo Mourning in the middle. I know Michael Jordan wouldn't mind having those guys out there on the floor now. And Payton's a Hall of Famer. Alonzo Mourning's a Hall of Famer. Alonzo Mourning, Hall of Famer. I heard an interesting story that he wanted to come to New York, was a free agent. And Patrick Ewing, which doesn't say too much about Patrick, told him, don't come, go to Miami, Riley will make you a better player. Well, they got a championship, but I just don't understand, you know, him not letting him come to New York. Give your buddy some of the water, but don't give him all the water so you go thirsty. Dr. Sandy Sports in
Depth,
Radio Network. Good, gang.
Lonzo Mourning was the first center to get a $100 million contract, no?
I don't know. Well, was he the first center to get $100 million? I don't know. We can look that up.
I watched that Magic Moment documentary again the other night, 30 for 30, about Shaq and Penny Hardaway. What a documentary that was.
And Shaq had said, had Penny not gotten hurt, him and Penny would have done or been the same thing that him and Kobe was. You know, Penny was an outstanding. You know, it's injuries, man. But he's often said that. He's, hey, man, you know, had Penny not gotten hurt, you know, he's doing the same thing that me. In fact, maybe there is no Shaq and Kobe. Maybe there is no Shaq and Kobe because he stays there. He stays there.
Well,
as far as
they said when they did that poll with the Orlando Sentinel, the newspaper asking if Shaq,
deserves that contract. And 85% of the people said no. And then that's when he decided to start shopping around. You know, it's kind of like, I just don't know what they were thinking. I don't know what that news paper was thinking by doing that.
Well, I tell you what, though, by him going to, because he doesn't win anything there with Penny not being 100%. So going to L.A., it's him and Kobe, it's the three championships, it's the MVPs. Yeah. You know, so you know, that worked out for him. I remember, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in Milwaukee, because Julius talked about that. And I had asked, the Bucks had the right to Julius. Julius jumped leagues and went to the Hawks for a while, made a great deal, worked out for Julius. Dr. Andy Sportsnet, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guide Network. It worked out great for Julius because he got a great contract. They gave him a Jaguar. And when he had to go back to the ABA, he was able to keep the Jaguar and keep the money. And he got a chance to play with one of the greatest basketball players ever in Pistol Pete. And I remember asking, I remember the moment, I said, Jew, how was it playing with Pete? And I'll never forget what he said. He said, Mel, the ball was always there. A great player. When you talk about great guards, it's remarkable how Pete's name doesn't pop up sometimes. Remarkable. Doesn't pop up. You know, great passer. Julius said, best ball hand out here. I remember Isaiah talked about, you know, what a great player. It's just remarkable now. That when they talk about great guards, think about it. You know, they talk about guards. Pete's name doesn't pop up. Doesn't pop up. You know, I think of it. He's like, I guess, on that forgotten team that I can put together. He's one of the guards, and Bob Pettit is the forward. He's one of the forwards. I got to find the rest of that team, the forgotten team. I'm going to put that together. But you know, Pettit is the forward. Pete is one of the guards, and I'm thinking maybe Earl Monroe is in the backcourt with him. I got to find another forward and a center. Well, okay, I got the center. Well, they do remember. But Nate Thurman. Nate Thurman is the center. Okay, here's the forgotten five. Nate Thurman, center. Pete Earl on the ball. Bob Pettit at the forward spot. I don't always say Baylor because they do remember, but maybe Elgin is. Maybe Elgin is. Elgin Baylor, Bob Pettit, in the hole, Nate Thurman on the ball. And maybe Baylor's not as forgotten as Rick Barry. Okay, because they do remember. So maybe it's Barry, Pettit, Nate Thurman, Pistol Pete, and Earl Monroe, the forgotten five. Forgotten five. I mean, okay, between you two. Okay, who you guys remember more? Do you remember Rick Barry or you remember Elgin Baylor? Ed Nett. If I say Rick Barry, you know who I'm talking about more so than Elgin Baylor?
I think I know Rick Barry more.
Okay. Okay.
Probably more because I remember his son was in, I believe, went to Florida as well.
Okay.
And he shot the free throw just like him. So I have more recent knowledge from
okay.
Rick Barry.
GW, is it Rick Barry, Elgin Baylor?
Hello.
Yeah, we're still here. You guys with me?
Yeah. Danny had to put the baby to sleep. I'm still here, though, Doc.
What happened? Okay. All right. Okay. Who do you remember more favorably, Rick Barry or Elgin Baylor?
Rick Barry.
Okay. No, that's it. That's all I need to know. G-Dub, Rick Barry, Elgin Baylor. Okay. Danny Football?
Danny Football, I had to go put the baby to sleep.
Okay, is he coming back? Well, okay, G-Dub, are you still with us or what? Okay, good thing I got audio. Okay, so then the Forgotten Five. Elgin Baylor, Bob Pettit, Nate Thurman, Earl Monroe, Pete Maravich. Hell of a crew. The Forgotten Five. Okay, the Forgotten Five. Dr. Danny Sports Net, Blog Talk Radio on the Trusted Garvin Network. I got Ed Nett here and Arthur Artie. Okay, gentlemen, you know, let it flow. GW, I guess he'll come back. GW is a big on him.
You were saying about Tim Duncan. So I am a very, very diehard San Antonio Spurs fan.
Okay.
It started when I had
Artie, can you give me some more volume? You're coming in kind of low.
Yeah. Hang on one second, Doc.
Yeah. All right. So,
Doc, Block Talk Radio, Church of Government Network. It's a 108-105. Was the final on that net Knicks score?
111-105.
Okay, forgive me. Okay, forget. Hey, 111-105. Hey, listen, I'm pretty sure the bookies is important to the book. To the bookies, you know what I mean? Yeah, Doc Sandy's
working.
Yeah, so you were talking
about back to 90.
Goes back
to 99.
They won by 6.
They were -6.5, and they won by 6. Wow.
They're going back to Miami.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, they were minus, so they gave, okay. All right, yeah, well, like I said, I've been a big proponent, Artie, Ednet, 18 seconds left of the game. Hey, man, run down the floor. You know, I'm not into that bullshit about running the clock out with 20-something. No. We're going to call George Allen, great line. The future is now. And back in the day, NFL, season's over. Back in the day, you what you had the 14 games. So you're 9-5. I'm 9-5. Or you're 10-4. I'm 10-4. We're even. But you know what? You scored 210 points. I scored 203 points. I beat you because you know my thing is okay. I got 35 seconds left. I got a first down. I'm in field goal range. I'm kicking a field goal. I mean, what about – I mean, I remember Melvin Gordon. Never forget this. Melvin Gordon broke the NCAA record for rushing yards in a game. Now, I'm going to ask you both. How long do you think he held that record at net? How long do you think he held the record for most rushing yards in an NCAA game? How long do you think he had that record? Just give me a guess, at net.
Was it broken like 2 years after?
Okay. And Artie?
I don't know, 10 years.
GW, you still there? Danny Football coming back? Here's the answer. You ready? You're both sitting down, right?
Yeah.
1 week.
Oh, geez.
1 week. The coach took him out the game. Huh?
Did he stop playing or what?
The coach took him out the game, I think, at the end of the third quarter or something like that. And the next week, the record was broken. The next week, the record – it's just like, how does Roberts take out Kershaw, who's throwing a perfect game, no-hitter? And let's fuck all the pitch count, which he was under, okay? Just like Tampa Bay coach took out his ace pitcher, who has 9 strikeouts, gave up 3 hits, no walks, and now they said, well, you know, you don't want the batters to face him a third time. I'm paying the guy $137 million. He can't face him a third time, not to mention the 0-6 with 5 strikeouts?
Doc, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Now you bring this up. It's not into the same magnitude, but yesterday, Domingo Germán, Yankee pitcher, was pitching yesterday, pitching the gem. He came to start the ninth, unlike most pitchers these days. And he gave up a hit to lead off the game, to lead off the inning.
Mm.
He has a tendency to give up 4 runs. The Yankees up by 2. Time on the plate. Aaron Boone comes in, pulls him, brings in his closer. Closer comes. He didn't have control of his best pitch. Struggled, gave up an error. Long story short, the Yankees lose 3-2. What do you have continued with? Domingo Germán, that is the tendency to give up the home run, but pitched amazing for most of the game. Or do you think he made the right decision by going to his closer and his closer just didn't happen?
Well, I think it's evident he didn't make the right decision because he lost. So that's solved. Now, when the pitcher, what was the score of the game?
The Yankees were up 2-0 in the ninth inning.
And he had a man on base.
He gave up a single, I believe.
He deserved to get another shot. At worst, it's 2-2 and you're still in the ball game. Okay, we go back. Artie, are you with me? At worst, it's 2-2. I see. I don't have a lot of respect for Boone. You know what we're talking about? I have a lot of respect for Boone for pulling out the guy last year with a 7-inning no hitter. What the fuck are you pulling him out of the game for? while they're saving for the playoffs. See, it seems that, see, the fans, we have some of the dumbest fans, besides being some of the racist fans in sports in New York City. Not everybody understood why I took him out the game. My thing is, well, you know, is he ever going to have a chance to go into the eighth inning with a no-hitter again? And you say, well, we want him for the playoffs. I'd rather him get hurt now, okay?
Yeah, man, you're taking away
to get hurt in the playoffs.
Man,
you know what I mean? Now, if he goes into the playoffs with a no-hitter, that's a psychological advantage against the opposition.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, he just come off with no hitter. It hurts my heart, man. The guy is throwing a no hitter. He's had a tough time coming back. He's throwing darts. You know, another thing, let him go out there. If he gets the hit, you pull him out the game. The fans give him the ovation. Okay, that's part two. He gets the ovation, pitch game. I did the best I could. Now he's always wondering, damn, I could have thrown no hitter. Kershaw, I could throw a no hitter. At worst, the game is tied. You lost the game. So you didn't make the right decision. I mean, you know, he didn't make the right decision. I have a problem with now. I love Dusty. But I can understand Dusty pulling the guy out because, I think the guy might have been tied, and they did get the no-hitter as a team. So now they've done that. They did that in the regular season. They did it in the World Series. You know, I can, and maybe I'm, you know, I love Dusty and being sympathetic. I'm going to talk to Dusty about that, too, when I see him. But, you know, I remember there's one guy who said, you know, he threw 5 innings of no-hit ball. He said, but I was gassed. You know, the way they're doing pitches. I was gassed. I had nothing left. I'm thinking, man. You know, he had nothing left. So, but no. I mean, the fact that you lost the game means you made the wrong decision. Right? You lost the game. Now, if you had won the game, and because now the guy pitched to Jim, so now he can't win the game. That's why you never have a 300 game winner again in baseball. 300 game winner, and you're hardly gonna get 20 game winners because Doc goes 7 1/3, bringing Artie who closes out the eighth. Okay, now I bring in Ed Nett and a couple of errors of the base hit, and all of a sudden it's a 1-1 game. I can't win the game. I can't lose. Catfish Hunter told me something. Never forget. One time we sat there and kicked it for a while. He said, the reason why they had the guys out in the bullpen in the old days, he said, because they didn't want them in the game in the first place. You know? And it was pitchers who brought steroids into baseball. It was pitchers who brought steroids into baseball. The great, late, great Art Russ Jr. Who said, you know, who saw that? So, no. Wrong decision. You lost the game. How could it be the right decision? You lost the game. So, there's no way to, I mean, I'm the guy.
You know, it's another thing. You got a lot of pitchers, today's pitchers, they're used to only throwing 5-6 innings. So, you know how you said they pulled them out in the 7th inning with that no-hitter?
Yeah.
7th or 8th inning? So, that's going over their limit. Whereas back in the day, like Andy Pettitte, all those guys, 7 innings was average for them. We had,
well, listen,
you know,
I tell you what. More than 7 innings, Artie. Well, see, they, you know, this is the thing that you brought up too, Artie. Doc Stanley's putting that Block Talk Radio on the Trusted Garden. Never, Knicks win. They're alive. Play again on Saturday. Ed Nett brought us inside off of Artie. Here's the thing, too. You know, is you have more Tommy John surgery now than ever before. That was the whole idea.
Oh,
you brought a second car for your wife to drive. She's still taking the bus. The car's in the garage. She's still taking the bus. So the idea with the pitch count, the idea with the 5-man rotation instead of 4 was to save arms. It ain't doing it. It ain't doing it. You got more guys having Tommy John surgeries a day than ever before. There's something wrong. I mean, I think they're going back to the,
yeah.
I think the little leagues. And here's another thing, gentlemen, that's ludicrous. Why are you playing with aluminum bats in the minor leagues or in the little leagues? When you get to the major leagues, you got to play wood. So why are you playing with aluminum bats? Not to mention the harm they bring. Why are you playing with aluminum bats? When you come to the big leagues, bats are wood. Can anybody give me an answer to that?
Doesn't sound right.
Yeah, there you go, Artie. Don't sound right. Ed Nett?
You know what else doesn't sound right? Pitcher is throwing 100, 110 pitches by the 5th inning. That doesn't sound right.
Well, I'll tell you something. Back in the old days, Gene Mock said he saw Sandy Koufax warming up on the sideline. He saw Sandy Koufax throw 100-something warm-up pitches. 100-something warm-up pitches. And then went out to a perfect game. It was a Nolan Ryan didn't play that baby nonsense out there in Texas. You know, you pitch, you started. Tom Seaver told me something I'll never forget. Man, my late buddy, I miss him. I'm sitting on the batting cage one day. I said, you know what? If you was around today, man, you go 7 innings, and then not thinking, you got to have an outstanding bullpen to do it, you know. Every team does have a Mariano Rivera or a great bullpen like the Astros. I said, man, you go 7, you win 500 games. And I never forget what he told me. I never forget the exact quote John told me. George Thomas, his middle name was Thomas, not the first name. Never forget it. G-Dub, Artie, never forget it. He said to me, bullshit, okay? He said, you got to go every fourth day, and you got to go at least 7 innings, okay?
That's what
not 100 pitches. Every fourth day, and at least, Artie, at least 7 innings.
That's what I'm saying. Innings was average.
Okay, at least 7 innings, but you know, not finish after 7 innings. Okay. Juan Marichal, Orange Spawn, again, by the grace of God, met both of them. I'm listening to a game on radio, and you're listening to Doc Stanley Sports and their Blog Talk Radio on Trust in God Red Network. We're saying happy birthday to Willie Mays. We'll do another show before then. I'm listening to the Outtown Scoreboard, the late, great, with the happy recap, Bob Murphy. Okay, let's go to the Outtown Scoreboard. San Francisco's Marichal against Spawn, nothing to end the three. And okay, there is a fly ball right field into the fifth. Look, Outtown Scoreboard. It's still nothing. San Francisco Giants against the Milwaukee Braves at the end of six. Now, they're in the top of the ninth now, and it's still nothing. Hey, they're in the 11th inning now. Nothing. Hey, they're in the 13th inning. Hey, it's all over. In the bottom of the 16th. Willie Mays has just hit a home run off Juan Spahn, the first guy he ever hit one off. The Giants beat the Braves 1-0. Winning pitcher going all the way, Juan Marichal. Losing pitcher going all the way, Warren Spahn. Marichal told me he threw 247 pitches that day. Artie, Ednett, we're not counting the 16 times he threw 8 warm-up pitches. 247 pitches, and then another 16 times he threw 8 pitches. He threw 400 pitches that day. The great Juan Marichal. So, Dr. Stanley Sports and Blog Talk Radio, Trust and God Network, letting you know the update that after a sad day yesterday to see, the New York Rangers lose to the Islanders, who are New Jersey Devils, but, you know, we'll count them in. Today, from MSG, home of the Rangers and the Knicks. Knicks win. Randall comes back. It's a 1-1 series situation now. They'll go to Miami for 2 games, Saturday and I believe next Tuesday and Monday, and then they'll be back here next week. That's been assured by them winning today. So the Knicks will be coming back home, and they'll either be ready to close it out, or to get closed out, you know, or to hang in there. They win down there, keep going. They win there, they come back at 2-2. They're kind of assured if they win of a 7th game. Dr. Stanley Sports and Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Guard Network. It's the Artful Artie and Ednett tonight. He's Ednett. Ednett, not a Knicks man. But he gave us the inside scoop on their win tonight. Looking for GW Mike to come back, but he didn't. We got Canelo fighting this weekend. Last week we had the
got Kevin Haney and Lomachenko coming up too.
Yeah, is that this week too?
No, May 20th. It's around the corner.
Okay, yeah, I'll be in Brazil. The May 20th, Lomachenko.
Yeah.
Outstanding fight. I always thought Lomachenko was vastly overrated. You know, I thought he was an outstanding fighter, but all this talk about the best fighter in the world, pound for pound. Bob,
I think it's because of his amateur background, but you can't go by that.
Artie, and you wonder why I love you, Artie, and you wonder why I love you. You're right. You know, amateur. Not only that, I always said
I
this, Artie.
He was 395-1, but don't forget, people forget, he lost to Orlando Salido. People forget about that.
What's that?
People forgot he lost to Orlando Toledo.
Not only that, I'm glad you brought that up, because not only did he lose to him, that was his first title shot that he lost. So here's a guy who was like 10-1 or 9-1. They're talking about the best fight in the world. The guy lost his first title shot.
Second professional fight. You get a title shot? What type is that? That's like Creed 3.
Yeah. I hope you're coming through loud enough for me, Artie.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm in the bad area. But I
just trying to make sure I've got you.
Yeah.
Because we stood that whole time here. We shouldn't be.
Let's be honest. Everybody wants to fight what they want. They want Spence and Crawford. And I don't understand what is the delay. Like, I don't understand what's going on with that.
Well, I got to tell you, the delay is Crawford. That's the delay. I mean, here's a guy. I wish I could get Lady A to join us. Let me see, I have a call. I can't now. Artie, call me right back, Artie. Not you. I mean, Ednet.
They call you right back?
Yeah, call me right back. I'm trying to get somebody else to join us.
All right.
Yeah. Just call me right back. I'm trying to get Lady A to join us. Crawford is the holdup. I mean, it's kind of obvious. I mean, first he's in negotiations. Let me see if I can get a call. And Doc Stanley, call in show, get her to join us. So we got 646-244-646-200. Hold on, Artie. Calling number two for everybody else. You want to call in and join us, 646-200-0373. Sports and Death Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. And we'll have him get us back to us. Yeah, well, it's very simple. You know, Spence offered Crawford 60-40. Then he said, let's do 45-45. Crawford says he'll get back to him, and then they turn around, and Crawford is signed to fight somebody else, okay? Now, Crawford is talking about – in fact, you know what? I think I got some of June stuff here. We can talk about that same situation. I'm glad you brought that up, because I believe we got June. We talked about it, the Crawford situation.
It's supposed to be June 17th or something they're supposed to set it for.
Oh, is it said now?
That's not – No, but that's what I was reading in all random press stories. You know what I mean? But you would have had an announcement by now. That's only 6 weeks away. That's not enough promotion for that fight.
But no, that fight doesn't need a lot of promotion, though.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is usually, like, a big fight like that, they want to do the All Access. Like, a fight like that, you want to give about 2 months.
The fight has had a lot of promotion. It just didn't come off.
Yeah. If we don't hear anything in another week with a major announcement, then that's going to probably get pushed back to the fall.
Well, if it gets too far pushed back, Spence may say later for it and go up to 154 and keep moving. Understand this. The fight... People are not coming to see Crawford and Spence. They're coming to see Spence fight Crawford. Okay? That's the bottom line. You know what I mean?
That's the bottom line.
I had a good interview
June
on that.
I think Crawford's the better fighter, though.
I don't think so. I mean, first of all, they talked about him cleaning up the 140 division, but there was nobody there. All the quality guys moved up to 147. Okay? And then my gauge on this, Artie, is when Spence fought Sean Porter, he fought a prime Sean Porter, and he beat him. When Crawford fought him, let me see. Okay, here we go. Let's see if we can get some of this from Junebug. Here we go. Gilberto Ortiz, the Latin side of Working on Boxing.
What you want is one thing. What you have is another. How much money are you making, Terrence Crawford?
You know, all the guys that were threatening Terrence Crawford had moved up to 147. So, he fought pretty much a bunch of has-beens at 140. you know, at 147, who did he fight? He fought Sean Porter after Sean Porter was pretty much done in his career.
And a fight that he was winning.
Right.
Was winning.
Who else? He was dropped by the Russian kid, and the referee didn't count it down as a knockdown. He counted it as a slip. I mean, he hasn't fought. I mean, Earl already fought. He fought. Earl Spence already fought. Sean Porter in his prime.
Went away to get the title overseas.
Went to England to beat Kell Brook to bring back the IBF title. And also he fought Ugas for the WBA title. So, I mean, those are three legitimate solid fighters right there. You know?
Yeah, I said that. The core fighters that he fought compared to Spence is, like you just said, Congress.
Yeah, I don't think, like I said, he fought Sean Porter after Paul was pretty much done.
And Sean Porter was beaten.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's his only real tough opposition at 147. Other than that, nobody else.
Like I said, you know, how much money are you making that fight?
But he's, to me, I think he's just too greedy for money. Obviously, because he walked away from negotiation tables when they were negotiating to fight the first time around. He went with BLK. They gave him, I think it was $11 million for that one fight. And the fight was garbage before the has-been.
Yeah, and he took with Aram, too. Aram let him go. He's a guy who promoted Mayweather, De La Hoya, and Ali had no problem with them at all.
Yeah, evidently he had problems with Terrence Crawford. I wonder why. Yeah, so I'm not a Terrence Crawford fan. You know, at least, you know, we should try to make this fight happen for both of them because it's a legacy fight. You know, it's an undisputed title fight. And whoever wins all the titles.
No question, he's a talented fighter.
Yeah,
but
sure.
But a tainted individual.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gilberto Ortiz, the Latin side of Brooklyn on boxing. Hold on. It's breaking up, Doc.
If you have signed for the rematch, in the rematch, would you think reach the biggest rewards when you do the rematch?
I came, Delavoye Trinidad. DK said, I gave Bob Graham everything he wanted. You know, because I know my man can beat this man. I just told Bob, my man beats your man, I'm giving you the same deal. Reneged on it. Delavoye tried to make the fight later. Even Saad Muhammad was a great example. Marvin Johnson. Fought Marvin Johnson in his hometown. Gave Marvin Johnson all he wanted was Marvin Johnson in the ring so he could get the belt. Get the belt. Yeah. If you can beat him, you can beat him. You know? I remember Durant and Davey Moore. They, you know, Davey Moore was talking, and Durant told people, hey, man, that's... Well, get him in the ring. That's what we want. That's all. As long as we get him in the ring. That's all. You know, once in the ring, everything's done.
I'm here, Doc.
Fighters are too busy worrying about what the promotional company is spending on as far as promoting the fight.
Yeah, but now, but like you said, now, what does it have to do with what do you keep when they spend? It ain't coming out of your pocket.
I second that.
Yeah.
Now, I'm saying this, like I said, like...
Hardy?
Yep.
Yeah, hold on. Let me finish this last part for you. Hold on a second now.
I can hear you.
Oh, it ain't coming out of your pocket.
Right, or equal. But he don't sell on pay-per-view. So how does he expect to get that kind of money.
Tell me this. When Terrence Crawford fights, the first thing you say, who's he fighting? Not like Ali, Duran, Ray Leonard, Tyson. You know who they fought. I'm seeing the fight. You know, he's got
to
have a
kind of hard to hear him, guy.
Opponent.
Mm-hmm.
That may, whatever you need, it doesn't matter. I mean, he just doesn't have that long. His paper, you know, Marvin was a great champion. Lee Frank, he didn't have that kind of charisma that Duran, Ray Leonard, Ray Robinson, Tyson, Ali had. Some guys don't have it. Some guys don't have it.
Yeah.
But when you talk about, right, he wants to know where the promotion money is coming. What do you have? Exactly. You got nothing to do with that. You ain't getting paid for that.
Well, you can't just spend money on the booklets for the history of the fighters. What do you care about?
Yeah.
That's the promoter. That's the promoter worry about that.
Your cut is what the pay-per-view is going to be if you get a slice of that, and that's it. But could this be a situation that he just don't want to fight? He's scared. Would he be scared?
I don't think he's scared. I just think he's just money hungry.
You're not scared, he's stupid.
Well, that's true, but I think he just wants, like you said, he wants a big share of the lion's mane. You know, come on, man. Like I said, you know, if you're selling seats, if you're selling pay-per-view, I aren't the half of the money. But to me, I don't think he sells. The proof is in the pudding.
Right.
Even Bob Arum said it. You know, with the amount of money that he lost with him, he could have had a house built in California.
And not only that, if you would survive, like King to Broner, he would have
415 D. What are you going to see, boss?
Yeah, Artie, I played that to kind of validate why the fight is not happening. We covered all the bases there. Crawford. What is his concern about where the promotional money is going? What is his concern about anything outside of what his cut is? And we kind of conclude that it's not about fear, but stupidity.
Yeah, I don't agree with the argument I'm going to say. This is my opinion. The only way I could see that, and I completely disagree with this, but it's just my instincts. I think that's because he's had promotional issues with the guy he just
Arum?
With Trufum. Yeah, is that his name? Yeah.
Artie, how could he have promotional problems with Arum,
yeah,
if Ali didn't have any, if Mayweather didn't have any, if De La Hoya didn't have any? We got three of the greatest names in boxing. Now,
well,
Mayweather may have left, but you know, Bob Arum, I mean, if his resume shows Ali alone, Artie, Ali alone, that's sufficient, okay? But he's got De La Hoya and Mayweather that he's promoted, And what did Gilberto say? This guy was concerned about where the promotional money goes? Come on, Artie. That ain't your business. Do you think Ali cared where the promotional money was going? Give me my money and give me my expense money. Especially now Ali had the right to think that because Ali was the greatest. Tyson had the right to do that. Ray Leonard had the right to do that. Ray Robinson, right? But not Terrence Crawford. The guy doesn't. Artie, have you seen him on pay per view?
In the question.
So if you have to think about it, that means that you haven't.
Right.
Okay, if you have to stop and think about it, then you haven't seen.
Yeah.
You haven't. When you did see him on pay per view, is before he was fighting Sean Porter. So it was Porter. Like I said, this fight here, Artie, is not Spence against Crawford. It's Spence fighting Crawford. You're coming to see Spence. Spence is sold on pay-per-view. Spence has all the belts. Spence is willing to do 55-45. And like June Bug from the Latin side of Brooklyn on Boxing said, the quality of fighters that – and Dusty kept saying, well, he cleaned up. No, he cleaned up the garbage that was left because everybody of merit went up to 147. And at this point, a lot of people are going to say, Yeah, later for it, man. You know, okay. You know, if you can't make it, Spence will go with him. There was a proposed fight I heard of Spence and Keith Thurman. Well,
Crawford's not getting any younger. He's going to be 36 in September. I don't know what he's waiting for.
I didn't know he was that old. But I can see why he's that dumb. I didn't know he was 36. Really.
He's going to be 36 in September. I'm like, well, you know, you're 4 more years, you're going to be 40. You know, clock is ticking, brother.
Wow. Artie, this you?
Yeah.
Man, Artie, you know, ladies and gentlemen, you hear things here that you hear anywhere. And I told you, I've always thought that my people were the best, but the absolute best. You know, that is another feather of negativity.
Why do people think he's the same way? Why do people think he's the same age? No, he's 3 to 4 years older than him.
Wow, I wasn't really aware of that. You know,
mm-hmm.
I knew he was older, but not by that much, man, Artie. Wow.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Wow,
that's
Block Talk Radio, Touch the Ground Radio Network.
That's why I'm frustrated. I'm like, I mean, you only got so much time left, man. Come on. You know, it's clicking. The clock is ticking.
Well, you know, we can go by that great line, too. You know, the George Allen says, you know, the future is now. You know, and biblically, Artie, the great line from the Bible, only a fool can guarantee tomorrow, you know.
Hello?
Yeah, okay, we're back. We played some excerpts, Spence Crawford, and we just got the revelation, Ednet, that, and I think, Ednet, how old do you think Crawford is?
Crawford? Isn't he like 34?
Okay, you're close. He's 36.
He's 36
in
September.
But what we're saying at 36, the needle is leaning towards 40, and it's past the 30s.
Yeah.
Man. Mm-hmm. Only a doctor is supposed to that Block Talk Radio Trust and Government Network. Knicks have won, and they'll be playing again Saturday. We're hoping that we can get Crawford and Spence done. Cinco de Mayo, May 5th, Canelo. And all the Latin fighters tried to fight on that time.
I think
the great Julio Cesar Chavez.
Today's the 8th anniversary of Mayweather-Pacquiao, believe it?
Is it already?
2015, brother. Imagine.
Man.
Fight of the century.
Well, the fight of...
The fight of the century.
Well, you know what? The fight of the century, unquestioned, unequivocally, and we can vote on it, Ali Frazier won.
100%.
And I remember about that fight.
Fight
is
of
two
the
things.
Millennium.
What I remember, Artie and Ednet, you couldn't walk down any street in America and turn to a stranger and say, who are you lacking to fight? And they would say Ali or Joe. Men, women, children, Jew, Gentile, priest, you couldn't walk down any street in America, okay, without question, New York, and say, who's lacking the fight? And male, female, Jew, Gentile, black, white, green, even Martians were like zeroing in with their bets, you know, for Mars and stuff. Everybody had an opinion on Ali Frazier won. And I remember my dear godfather, John Condon, talked about, they called John in. He was the PR man for that fight, and he denied Time Magazine a credential. And they called Tom in. John, his boss, John, you denied Time Magazine because they're right. And John said, yeah, I don't need Time Magazine to sell this fight. This fight sells itself. What am I going to do now? Am I going to bump my regular daily guys? Am I going to bump my weekly guys? The El Diario gives me a fight story every day. I need Time Magazine when I got Sweet Artie 7-0 on the card. And I got Edgar Torino 5-0 on a card down in the felt form. That's why I need Time Magazine, so to help me push these guys. I don't need Time Magazine for Ali Frazier, you know. But there wasn't a city in America that you couldn't turn to somebody and the who's who that night. Frank Sinatra was a ringside photographer. I see Miles Davis walking in, you know. And you know, it was, wow. And Harold Weston talked about The guard had no idea how big it was. Joe Frazier was the one that demanded the fight be in Madison Square Garden. Ali and Joe got $2.5 million, which was astronomical, but at the last press conference, when Jack Kent Cook with the other guy got in and did the pay-per-view circuit, you know, when they announced the figures, Ali said, oh, Joe, we've been robbed. They should have got at least another million apiece. The 2.5 was astronomical, but they could at least get another million apiece. But yeah, the fight of the century, unequivocally, you know, Mayweather, Pacquiao, the fact that, first of all, it didn't happen when it should have happened sooner. Ali Frazier happened when it was happened when it should have happened. Ali's people thought maybe another fight. I thought Ali won the fight anyway. But it wasn't a stalemate. It wasn't stagnant. I mean, what would happen with Spence and Crawford, you know, what we had at Pacquiao and Mayweather. The fight happened March 8, 1971, on a Monday. On a Monday. And there were those who picked Ali because they were Ali fans. There were those who picked Joe because, you know, like Waver said, well, he's a draft dodger, this and that. The young people in young America went Ali, anti, you know, Vietnam movement. Oh, the one guy, I remember going to the fight, that he picked Joe because he thought Ali needed another fight or two. And, you know, he proved to be right because Ali lost, but he proved to be wrong because I thought Ali pulled it off. But the fight of the century, there'd never be another. I remember there was a guy, the late, great Tommy Kinfer, another human being that touched my heart. That really, he said they had a writer from England or Germany or something, and he asked Tommy where would he be sitting for the fight. And Tommy pointed up to the hockey boxes up at the top of the garden where the hockey writers watched the fight. The guy, Edgar, and Artie, he turned to Tommy. He said, "Well," he said, I came to write about the fight, not to watch it." I came to write about the fight, not to watch it. All right. So that was it. Doc Stanley, Sports Net, Blog Talk Radio, Trust the Government Network. Artie, you got to run?
I'm here, Doc.
Oh, yeah, okay. Okay, because, you know, we got the – okay, I got another call. Okay, I got a 203 joining me. Hold on. Well, we got joining us here on Sports in Depth, Blog Talk Radio. Come on in here now. Hello. Oh, no. Okay. I got somebody else. Okay. Lady A?
Hey, what's up, Doc? What's happening?
Hey, good. Okay. The first lady of the Sweet Science joining us. Man, really handsome the show. Lady A, I guess you heard some of the stuff they're talking about. Well, the greatest fight of all time, Lady A, unquestionably, Ali Frazier won.
Ooh, I don't know. Question. I don't know. I mean, are you talking bare knuckle, or are you just talking regular, like, you know?
Lady A, we're talking the greatest fight of all time at this end. We ain't talking bare knuckle. Let's not go down to Zell Sullivan. We're talking about guys with gloves on. We're talking
all
about.
Right.
Okay, no, yeah, I mean, we're talking about Ali Frazier. Though some people talking about Pacquiao. Maybe, greatest fight of all time.
You know, Boston Brawler, I mean, you had a lot of fights that went more than the normal rounds. That's why I'm saying that to you.
I mean
you know,
I'm
you had
talking
guys
about,
that used to fight. You had guys, let me speak, you had guys that used to fight for 100 or something rounds. So, I mean, I'm just asking you, you know, I got to clarify. You know what I'm saying? It's clarity, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay,
we're talking
20th century after the 60s.
Okay, clarify. Okay, yeah.
Okay. What's your feeling, the First Lady of Sweet Science? You love her, man. She ain't nothing like it. What's your feeling on what's the hold up on Spence Crawford? June just talked about that, you know, Crawford doesn't sell on pay-per-view. He wants all this astronomical money, and he doesn't sell on pay-per-view. He wants to know where promotional money is going. He's a pay-per-view flop. Artie is trying to put some of the blame on the promoter, but I'm saying if Aram had no problems with Ali, De La Hoya, and Mayweather, why is he having problems with Spence Crawford? Your thoughts, Lady, on who would win Spence Crawford, and why is there a delay on Spence Crawford?
I mean, inevitably, I think, you know, everybody's concerned about, you know, monetarily how much they're going to be getting for a fight. I mean, but the draw on the card for me will always be Spence. Again, I think, too, remember, Doc, you and I had this conversation a while ago when it comes to venues. I mean, you got a guy like Spence that will bring a draw the Dallas Stadium if he decides to fight there. You know, I mean, think about how many people that would draw. And not only that, how much the venue would hold. You know, obviously people are going to be there. See Spence. To me, I think Spence is the one that's going to draw the crowd. Now, without a doubt, I'm not trying to put down Crawford's ability in the ring, you know, either, or his physicality or how he fights. But I still believe that Spence is the better man in that fight. Now, you know, 9 out of 10 times, June and I always feel the same way. You know that. You said it to me in the past. I mean, I don't know how he felt about it because I didn't listen to the show earlier. But that would be my opinion as far as, excuse me, who the draw in that would be. Of course, it's Spence.
Yeah.
Now, I had
to, you know, I said that too. I said, you know, this is not a fight that is Spence against Crawford. It's a fight where Spence is fighting Crawford. They're coming to see Spence. And, you know, the first lady, I said this, ladies and gentlemen, and, you know, we haven't talked, but this is, you know, she's the greatest boxing mind of her time and of all times. And I told you about my panel. At one time, I kind of stubbornly thought they were the best, but as time's going on, they're the absolute best. And the first lady of the Sweet Science.
We concur,
Spence is the better fighter. Spence has more belts. Spence has fought better quality opponents. Spence is the guy people are coming to see. And this, if fight don't happen, people have no problem watching Spence and Keith Thurman fight, and, you know, Crawford can go where he wants to go.
Before he says anything, let me just, because I don't know who else you have on the panel. I apologize.
And Artie, we got Arthur Artie, we got Ed Nett, and GW Mike was here for a while. Go ahead, Lady A. Finish.
No,
go
no,
ahead, go ahead. Come on, Artie, coming. Go ahead, Lady A.
In saying that, I don't want to take away from Crawford's ability. Remember, I mean, the guy could flat out box. I mean, he can go southpaw. You know, to conventional and back. I mean, he can't. I'm not taking away from his ability to box, but in that fight, if you were to make that fight, I would say Spence is the better fighter. He's bigger. You know, I think he again with the draw, he draws more people in. You know, he ring generalship. He's got it. You know, he definitely. I mean, punch combos. He's got it. Defense. He's got it. You know, so tell me who's the better fighter. I would have to tell you Spence. And also, I believe. He's a better draw. Okay.
But I mean, there's no question about that. I mean, there's no question. Dr. Tenney's supposed to be at Blog Talk Radio. I'm trusting God. We're talking boxing with some of the best to ever. She's the best to ever do it. First Lady of the Sweet Science, Lady A, June, Gilberto Ortiz from Latin Side of Brooklyn on boxing. We got Artful Artie, GW Michael with us. And we got Ed Nett tonight. He was Ed Jett the other day. And Danny Football was with us, but he left. Yeah, I mean, it's just, to me, it's and the holdup is, and Artie was saying, what's the holdup in that fight is Spence? And Lady A, he brought me up, Artie brought up a tremendous point, too, which shows also the lunacy of Crawford. He's 36 years old. What's he waiting for?
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
It's what everybody's
waiting. Artie, you were going to dovetail on something that she was saying?
Yeah, well, he's back. But I just still think that Crawford's the better fighter because – the thing I go back to is, like, if Spence didn't get into that car accident, the question is, the Spence that fights Crawford before the accident.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
That's another reason why I think Crawford's going to have the upper hand. Because
yeah, I mean, good point. It's a valid point, but hold on, seeing this fight with Ugas, It didn't seem to be in effect. But go ahead, Artie. Go ahead.
I get it. But, you know, it's like, you know, the guy, Ugas beat Pacquiao. And he's a good fighter. Ugas was a serious fighter. You know, but again, it's just.
I watched the fight again the other day. And I'm going to tell you what. That fight.
GW. What's up, Bobby?
Maxine, what's up? What's going on?
Oh, my God. I haven't heard of you in forever. How you doing?
Hey, you made a good point on that three-week.
Sorry, I had to tend to my wife. She had a broken leg, so I had to step aside for a half an hour. She was asking for me.
Okay.
About that. You know what? I'm going to tell you something real quickly, Artie. You made up 2 points. You brought up 2 points that add to the lunacy of Crawford. The accident, which people have kind of forgotten, and the fact that he's 36 years old. I don't want to sound vulgar, but as a street, what the fuck is he waiting for then? You're 36 years old. The guy has a car accident. Strike while the fire is hot. What do you care? If you know, if you think you can, like June said before, the rematch will give you the lion's share if you win. What are you waiting for? You know, what's that Rolling Stones? Time is on my side. Time ain't on his side.
Again,
you brought up another valid point. What is he waiting for after the accident and being 36 years old?
But that's what the mystery. That's why that mystery is attractive, and that's why I still think Crawford knows something that we don't. That's why I'm still going with him.
I think Crawford's problem is that he thinks he knows. Okay, you know, because we look at the fact that you're in negotiations, and you know, the guy shows no class. You're in negotiations. I got you on hold. Okay, I tell you, I come back. And then I keep you on hold. They were doing the negotiations. Spence comes down from 60 to 40, 55-45, and he goes signs with somebody else. what Spence knows is what he thinks he knows and what's in his mind. And, you know, and I remember you never get a second chance to make a first impression. This PR guy takes us over to him, and it's PR guy now. Okay, you're hitting one of the legendary PR men, takes us over to him. Come over to him, and I said, I got a jacket here. Would you order? He said, I don't sign autographs. And I'm thinking, is this guy serious? You know, is this guy serious? I mean, you know, your PR man has brought you over to me. Hey, this is Doc Stanley and this is Daniel Lewis, and we happen to be here, and you're telling me you don't sign them. What? You ain't Bill Russell.
Finish the story. Say the whole story, what you said to him. Finish the story.
Come on, lady. Tell a story for me. Tell it.
No. Finish the story. Say the whole story. Let the audience know the whole story.
No, so I mean, he says, he don't sign autographs, you know?
No. Say the whole story. Say what happened after that. Let him know what happened.
Go ahead, lady.
Then
I forgot.
Then you looked at him and you said, oh, okay. Because, you know, I have Muhammad Ali's autograph on here. I got Leon's piece. That's okay. You don't have to sign the jacket. Like, now you're telling him, yeah, I have legends on this jacket. You know what I mean? Like, that's okay. You have to sign. I thought maybe you would want to grace yourself, presence of other legends, and sign the jacket. Say the truth, Doc. Let it be known.
You know, and we thank you, lady. I love you, babe. And you talk about, you know, him being able to go southpaw and conventional. That's like being a switch hitter. Yeah, but you only can hit the home run from one side. So if you hit 35 home runs as a switch hitter and my man hits 42 as a lefty or righty, that's more home runs. Now, we talk about his ability in the ring, but we need to talk more about his lunacy outside the ring. This fight should have happened. We should be talking Spence Crawford too by now. And you added more to kind of the asshole that he was to start off with, you know, the last time I saw Ali, by the grace of God, the last time I saw Ali, last time he signed for me, he won the Victor Potemkin Award. I'm walking out the door. I got a bag full of order pictures. I said, let me take everything down there. I'll take some out when I get there. I get down there. We know, hey, how you doing, man? Ali got, so, yeah, sure. So I take four or five things out, and he signs them. I take the stuff, and I'm putting it back in the bag. He looks at me. He looks at the bag. The security guy, he says to me, hey, man, what you got in the bag? What are you hiding in the bag from me? I said, champ, I'm not hiding nothing, man. You can't. Hey, say, give me everything. This is what Ali tells me. The greatest heavyweight champion, the greatest face in sports on the earth, along with Pelé, give me everything, my brother. And this punk ass is telling me he don't sign autographs. As I think about it, I shouldn't have let him even touch the jacket. Okay? So this guy seems to have no class.
Okay, I think this guy wanted to say something, though.
He's a knucklehead.
Was that lady?
I think GW Mike was trying to say something. Yeah. Doc. I'm sorry.
Budge it up.
Terrence is a knucklehead, man. That's exactly. He's an uninformed. He's not well-managed. He's another prime example. Errol Spence, call it what you want, is very, very, very well managed, and he has very good brokers around him. Terrence is not a businessman, and I have to be honest with you. The thing is, one thing about Bob Arum, and I will say this, if Bob Arum, if you follow Bob Arum's way of doing business, you make money. Miguel Cotto has made money with him. Lomachenko has made money with him. Bob Arum has a certain way that you have to make your money. Errol Spence has a wonderful career. He's made a ton of money. He's been well-groomed. He's been honestly, I was watching him the other day. He's got a stellar career, especially with all the stuff that he's been through. I mean, he's been a champion for a long time. He's had some decent fights, some big wins. He's made a ton of money. He's made a quality rise name for himself to make him the A side of the game. Now, I do want to say one thing about Crawford. I think it's just true ignorance. I think it's a lot of ignorance on his part as far as making deals. I don't think he believes in himself. That's why he wanted to take the $25 million. You know, he had a $25 million set for both of them to make, and which he's not looking at it because, you know, in Terrence Crawford's case, that's a lot of money. But in Errol Spence's case, he's working with real business people. You know, I'm not saying that Terrence is not real business people, but he's got big players. You know, guys like that are behind him are, you know, guys that are, you know, stadium people. Al Heyman's been in running other businesses. They don't want an income ceiling, so they have that entrepreneurial attitude and spirit. Where Terrence, you know, I think that he's new to this. You know, he always had a promoter that was, he's never had that sparkle that he's never had that. He had it work. Like, I one thing I will say about this is, you know, we talk about the A side and the B side as far as fights. Errol Spence is definitely the moneymaker. Errol Spence has definitely got the bigger name on paper.
He's the draw.
Yeah, but I'm going to tell you something right now. He's the draw. You're absolutely right. But here's the thing. If you really look at opponents now, we got to be serious now.
Yeah.
Terrence Crawford's a three-division champion. Okay?
Right.
Hold on. Let me finish. I know I'm going somewhere with this. If you look at the resumes, okay, if you look at the resumes, not by just the welterweight division, but the overall people that Terrence Crawford has beaten, he should be the A side of the fighters. He's got more fights. He's beaten Gamboa. He's cleaned out a division. He's beaten almost every welterweight that Errol Spence has beaten. I know they're not in the prime. They've already beaten. But so it is a dead smack even. But he has probably beaten. It's like saying when Duran fought Hagler. Who did Hagler fight? Duran wiped out three or four divisions. He's never eaten, fought the quality of people that Duran fought. But he is still a three-time division champion. So we got to take all that into consideration. So in his head, but from a business standpoint, it means nothing because he hasn't had that. For some reason, he just is not that star-studded draw, like I said. And in business, you know how in boxing is. Ric Flair in wrestling always said this. It's an old saying, and it was in fucking wrestling. To be the man, you got to beat the man. And that's the one problem I have with boxing nowadays is show me one guy back in the day, even Sugar Ray Leonard took shorts against Marvin Hagler. If you're sure of your ability, okay, and you're making – we're not talking peanuts here. We're talking millions and millions of fucking dollars, okay? How many guys took shorts to say, you know what, at some point I got to prove that I am the best and I have enough confidence in myself and the money will be there. And why does every fighter fight? Like, they're always their last fight. And that's one of the problems that we have with boxing right now. You know, if you're not afraid to let your O go, okay, and you don't have much – if you're too afraid to let your O go, you don't have confidence. You shouldn't be getting paid that kind of money. And
you know, G-Dub, quick, two things you said about the people around him. And I remember that first meeting, after talking to him, I went over near the podium area, and Lou DiBella came over and said something in a very congenial way to one of Spencer's people, and the guy came off very hostile, very asinine, very stupid and ignorant. And I thought to myself, wow, you know, are these the kind of people he has around him? I know Lou DiBella, class act, you know, asset to the game. And no, Lou was kind of taken back, but he took the high road, boom, boom, boom. You know, whatever came down, he was, you know, suffisive. It had to be apologetic. He was going to be. This guy came off as a first-class asshole, which validates you around
the kind of people that Spence, that Crawford has around him. So, you know, it's lunacy surrounded by lunacy and validated by lunacy.
He doesn't have smart, you know what I mean? Like I said, he's got a nostalgia about him now, like Warren Buffett. I've seen him toying with Warren Buffett. He has made some solid investments. You know, I know he's done some work in Africa. He's making some other moves now. I've been following. He's making better moves now. He did make $9 million his last fight. You know, I know you're stalling dealing, but it was smart on his part. Come on, you made $9 million to fight somebody that was in the top nine. You know, you got to roll with it. You got to take the money where you can get it. You know what I mean? I don't hate on him for not making the fight.
Yeah, but he walked away from a bigger payday, but more importantly, and I understand taking the money, but you told the people, hold on, and I come right back.
So you told me
you're going to the bathroom, and I see you leaving the restaurant in the cab.
Doc, can I say something?
Go ahead, lady.
Same exact. I'm sorry.
I just want to say one thing. I know GW, you remember this. It kind of reminds me, GW, of the whole thing. You remember when they had Kid Chocolate ready to fight? I think it was they were going to have him fight. I think it was Triple G. And he decided not to take the money, and the money was there for him to take it. So it kind of reminds me of that same scenario where he backed out of that. He backed out. And I'm like, wait a minute. If the money's there for you, why are you afraid to fight the guy? Why?
Yeah.
You know? I know we're talking separate divisions. I mean, I'm just using that as an example. You know, obviously, that's middleweight. I was a middleweight fight. But I'm just saying, Doc and I stood there when Nazim was there with me and Doc and what's his name? Doc was there with us. Nazim, you, me, and who else was there? Oh, God, what's the other guy's name? He was there. Anyway, Bernard Hopkins was there also. I can't think of the other guy's name. But Doc, we went to that press conference in the city, and we heard that.
What I remember, too, was the bullshit line that he ran. You know what I mean? You know, I got to think about me and my family. I think your family would like you a whole lot better making $20 million than
100%. 100%.
Guys are definitely, and again, the problem is it's the same thing in this. This is how it goes. In this day and age, not even so much the fighters, I blame. It's society. It's the boxing fans. We look at somebody when they have a loss. It's like when you look at somebody and you see a fight. We could watch a fight. I could tell you in 5 seconds, just looking at it, what this guy's going to be. Like this guy, Berlanga, this Puerto Rican fighter that...
Berlanga, yeah.
Berlanga, he's the new pride of the Puerto Rican fighters. Now,
yeah, but where has he been now since he had no knockouts?
Hold on. I saw this kid when he was knocking everybody out. My friend called me up. Hey, man, you see this guy? I said, all right, what did I tell you? He ain't going nowhere.
I know. He didn't even knock out, what's his name, Rose. Yeah,
this is before he even started. The problem is what people don't understand. It's a very simple situation. How many people really, really, really are going to win? And, again, I'm going to say this. I look at Bernard Hopkins, Doc, and you know I always say this. If you watch Bernard Hopkins in the fight with Kovalev, Bernard turned around, and he didn't start fighting, opened up with 30 seconds left in the fight. That's when he made it look like he was almost getting knocked out, and he was fighting, he was letting go. Everybody forgot about the 11 and a half rounds of that fight, but on the 12th round, they're all going to remember Bernard Hopkins. Oh, my God, he's a hero. And listen, I don't take nothing away from B-Hop. B-Hop's a champion. He's a good fighter, really good fighter. He didn't. What he had to do to survive that fight and close just enough to make his legacy look into the
losing,
era.
Looking good. That's your classic line. Losing, looking good.
Losing, looking good. And that's the bottom line. So now you got to turn around. There's very few people. Now, in a society where people see that now, this is what we look at now as greatness. Now, again, I'm not saying nothing about Bernard. Bernard has been an inspiration to me. He got me to start boxing again.
11 years, middleweight. Come on, champion, almost 11 years.
I take nothing away from him. But,
Bernard Hopkins was a great champion, but he wasn't a great fighter.
Yeah.
Great champion, wasn't a great fighter.
There's very few people that can actually say,
I'm well gifted. I'm on the top stage. I let it all hang out. I look at Sugar Ray Leonard when he fought Tommy Hearns. That's a real win. Okay, that's somebody that was willing to go to the gusto on a skill level like that that really came back and went, how many times did Ali do that? Okay, I never saw, and again, Bernard's one of my favorite fighters coming up. He inspired me. When Bernard looks good losing, he gives up. He has enough ability to get by in these situations. And there's a lot of fighters that do, and they make money. A lot of another thing is, too, with these guys is, you know, as far as the public goes, they let them go after one or two losses. Like Lomachenko right now. Let's look at this fight. Now, I know everybody's not big on Lomachenko, but let's talk about this Lomachenko fight. Devin Haney, wonderful fighter. Good fighter for today's standards. You know what I mean? I'm not comparing these guys to anything great. But you got to study and analyze the fight. George Foreman knocks out Kenny Norton. Kenny Norton gets knocked out by George. Kenny Norton beats Ali. Ali knocks out George Foreman. Now, how does that happen? Styles make fights? No. Here's the bottom line. Muhammad Ali wasn't a big, big puncher at the time. Kenny Norton's style gives Ali trouble 9 out of 10 times all the time because it's a defensive, fast guy. But because Ali doesn't possess the power of a George Foreman, he's not going to have as much effect. It's the same thing with Mayweather against Judah. These guys that are good boxers that get knocked out because they have a tender jaw but do good against boxers who are great, who actually beat the boxer. Now, that's where it gets technical with all this. Now, Lomachenko, problem with a guy like Teofimo Lopez because Teofimo was much bigger than him, comes in solid. Now, Haney, on the other hand, got kind of – he don't have the power that Teofimo have, and he's not as strong as Teofimo. Now, Lomachenko, we just had one of our guys fight Lomachenko. This kid, Jermaine Ortiz – this kid is a good fighter. I'm not saying he's going to be world champion, but Jermaine is a really good, solid fighter. He gave Lomachenko a hell of a fight. People are going to be like, oh, you know, Lomachenko is done. Fight Jermaine and tell me what you think afterwards. Jermaine's still learning, and he's tough, and he's strong, and he's big. Shane Haney, now, does he have the punching power to deal with, to make Lomachenko say, okay, I'm not going to start for 6 rounds? Now, the other hand is now, Devin Haney's got a great jab. He's got a very good balance. He's got every technical aspect. But he's going to see things in the ring that Lomachenko is going to do to him that he doesn't see anywhere else. These are unorthodox. These are precision tactical things that he's not going to see. The question 100%. Is, what's going to happen when he sees those things? It's different to get hit with a jab 3 or 4 times and then go back 1, 2, 3, and then you're following all the basic punches. Now the guy's pulling down your eyes. He's scraping your eyes with a jab, and now all of a sudden that's coming down. He's raking your face with the. It's like with Duran and Davey Moore. Davey Moore had all the technical ability, all the basics. He never saw anything like Duran. There's these little tricks of the trade that are seasoned veteran moves. What's going to happen when Haney sees that? And if Haney doesn't have the punching power to deal with that. I just went through this. One of my guys fought the other night.
I don't even – hold on, GW, but let me stop you. I don't even think it's just it's just that. It's about adjustment, right? Because again, you could have all that, but if you're not able to adjust, look, it's a difference between somebody throwing a right and being able to parry or being able to, you know, just rotate with it and rotate your head, right? And then you're like, okay, well, let me see, right? If you're not able to make these adjustments, right, those little things could pile up, and then by the end of the fight, you're down.
Yep, 100%.
Yeah. You know, it's a great point.
It's going to be a dope fight.
I think I have interest in this fight more than I had in this shithole fight that happened over the weekend. That was the worst buildup. Oh, what a shit show with that Ryan Garcia and that other fight.
Same thing with Benavidez and Caleb Plant.
I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, I tell you who, I got to be honest with you, who I really, really, really got to laugh. I was watching a talk show today, guys, is these two Charlie brothers, the Shenanigans. That's what I call it. Remember Martin Lopez, Shenanigans? It's too much. I'm greater than Mayweather. I could have beat Mayweather. I'm like, but who are they fighting? Guys are talking like they got Hall of Fame Jersey Joe Wolcott careers.
No. I don't know, brother.
Crazy.
Hey, real quickly, while we're here, let's listen, lady, you missed it.
Let's listen to a little bit what June had to say about this Crawford situation. Here we go, gang.
He cleaned up 140 after all the good fighters had moved up to 147. Mm-hmm. They all moved up. There was nobody left to fight. Nobody, not any real threat to Terrence Crawford. Mm-hmm. You know, all the guys that were threatening Terrence Crawford had moved up to 147. So, you know, he fought pretty much a bunch of has-beens at 140. Mm-hmm. You know, at 147, who did he fight? He fought Sean Porter after Sean Porter was pretty much done.
And a fight that he was winning.
Right.
Who's winning?
Who else? He was dropped by the Russian kid, and the referee didn't count it as a knockdown. He counted it as a slip. I mean, he hasn't fought. I mean, Earl already fought. He fought. Earl Spence already fought. Sean Porter in his prime.
Went away to get the title overseas.
Went to England to beat Kell Brook to bring back the IBF title. And also he fought Ugas for the WBA title. So, I mean, those are three legitimate, solid fighters right there. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, I said that the core fighters that he fought compared to Spence is, like you just said, Carlos.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, like I said, he fought Sean Porter after Paul was pretty much done.
And Sean Porter was beaten.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's his only real tough opposition at 147. Other than that, nobody else.
Like I said, you know, how much money are you making in that fight? You know?
To me, I think he's just too greedy for money. Obviously, because he walked away from negotiation tables when they were negotiating to fight the first time around. He went with BLK. They gave him, I think it was $11 million for that one fight. And the fight was garbage before the has-been.
Yeah, and you talk about Aram, too. You know, Aram let him go. He's a guy who promoted Mayweather, De La Hoya, and Ali had no problems with them at all.
Yeah, evidently he had problems with Terrence Crawford. I wonder why. I'm not a Terrence Crawford fan. We should try to make this fight happen for both of them because it's a legacy fight. You know, it's an undisputed title fight. And whoever wins all the titles.
There's no question. He's a talented fighter.
Yeah.
But a tainted individual.
Yeah.
Okay.
You submit your legacy in history. Okay?
Okay, gang. That was some of June's I played before.
If you have signed for the rematch, in the rematch, who do you think reached the biggest
points? When you do the rematch, you say, Don King, De La Hoya, Trinidad. DK said, I gave Bob Graham everything he wanted. You know, because I know my man can beat this man. I just told Bob, my man beats your man, I'm giving you the same deal. Aram, reneged on it. De La Hoya tried to make a fight. Hey, what's up, Muhammad?
Okay. I know, that's it. I mean, we basically have said the same things here. June, once again, so you can hear his voice too, Larry Yeh. I think he's similar to what we said. You know, Crawford is talented, but looking at his resume, Dusty always kept talking about, well, you know, he cleaned up the 140 division. He's a champion. Crawford's coming in with one belt. Spence is coming in with three belts. What I've said, GW, what I've said, Lady A, it's not Spence against Crawford. It's Spence. People are coming to see Spence fight Crawford. You know, Crawford brings nothing to the table, and I think, you know, the longer this fight gets made, doesn't get made, it won't be a stain on Spence's record. It'll be a stain, I feel, on Crawford, Lady A.
Oh, yeah, I concur. I concur with that. I mean, ideally, it kind of goes back to what GW was saying, right? You want the best to fight the best. In order to be the best, you should fight the best, right? Because you can't classify yourself as the best if you haven't beaten the best. And you know, you could go down his whole entire resume and pull out, well, I mean, was he fighting tomato cans? Or wasn't he fighting tomato cans, you know? But in reality, I think when you look at it, me personally, I when you told me what you told me about what had happened, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, why wouldn't someone take that payday? Number one. Number two, you're going to be fighting somebody that you know is going to, you know, as far as your reputation goes, when you look at when you go down the resume, they're going to be like, oh, wow, he beat this guy, you know? I just feel as though it goes back to what we were talking earlier. I think it was Artie, I think that mentioned it, or you with the
before. Yeah, Artie.
When you were talking about like the Pacquiao and Mayweather fight, how it got made so late. I mean, you know, that's the last thing you want. You know, it's kind of like when you talk about Hopkins and Jones, right? You're like, oh man, I mean, you wish they would have done something a lot sooner, right? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I would love to have seen Pacquiao and Mayweather fight at their prime. You know, could the argument be made, like Artie had said, where it's like, you know, you wonder what it would have been like if he would have fought him before the accident, you know? But I mean, we're where we are right now, and you know, we still haven't made the fight. So you just, like I said, and not only that,
does that say a lot about Spence's talent that we still give him the edge with the accident, and that somehow we kind of don't remember the accident?
Well, you know what? I think another thing that is not pointed out is everybody's quality of life outside the ring.
Spence is a serious fighter. He's a very, very – I was watching that Ugas fight. He's a very, 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 very tough, tough fighter. That's why I'm so excited.
He's a bull.
He's a bull, but he's a technical bull.
Yes.
And he has a sense of history. Between the two, I remember his first fight at the Barclays Center. You know, he was a young kid who appreciated where he was, knew the history of the sport, and the forerunners before him. Here's another thought, too, quick, gang. If they fight at 147, after the weigh-in, we're going to probably have a 154 Spence fighting a 147 Crawford. Thoughts there, everybody?
Maybe more than 154, because I think when he hydrates up, because remember, sometimes when he hydrates, he's a little more than that. I mean,
Spence is probably going to be walking around at like maybe 157.
Another thing that shows Spence's ability to say, the thing that Spence, what's nice about Spence, though, he's a true welterweight. How many guys do you see are able to stay in one weight division for 7 years? You know, it's you know, you got to give him credit. Right. He's a welterweight champion. He's not trying to go up. He's making everybody come to him. You know what I mean? You want me? This is my title. I'm going to be undisputed. You know what? He'll probably get a junior middleweight and middleweight title down the road. But right now,
I think he'll finish up his career at 154.
Gentlemen, everybody, hold on. Hold on. Everybody, give me 8 seconds. 8 seconds.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sport in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
And with that, Lady A, memories of the past. Come on, Lady.
And if I may say that the Sport in Depth Nation is here. The Sport in Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good Doc.
And the First Lady who stirs the beverages, GW Mike who makes the drink, and Artie who prepares the beers are here. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let's take it. We're talking about Spence Crawford. We're talking about a fight that – you're talking about it, G-Dub. You know, I'm the champion. I'm 147. And what's that, Marvin Gaye? Come get to this.
Yeah. He's got to go. This is the thing. Again, I don't think it's Crawford does not want to fight him. I don't think that it's that. I think he has very poor management. And, Doc, you just said something that made a lot of sense. Bob Arum has worked with the greatest fighters of all time, Ali, Leonard. I mean, nobody's had problems. They've all made money with him. He seems to be the only one having problems. And
I forgot about Ray. Yesterday, Ray, Ali, Mayweather, and Delahoy.
Yeah, I think what the problem is with Terrence, I think Terrence just doesn't have smart business people around him. And, again, you know, he just was in that Creed movie. He's starting to make a little name for himself. But like you said, too little, too late. You're 36 years old now. You're supposed to have that already. You can't start doing it. Now you got to
be forced. He knows he has so much time, and I think he's just trying to cram. He's trying to – he's got a lot of small windows.
You know what the other thing is, though, too? Here's the thing that gets me. Terrence Crawford right now can shine and become a multi-Megan millionaire. He's got two fights lingering right now. If he beats Errol Spence, which he could – to me, it's a 50-50 fight, straight up 50-50 fight. If he beats him, he easily beats Charlo if he beats Errol Spence. There's no doubt he could carry it in the frame. Charlo is beatable.
I don't see Charlo being an easy fight. I don't see him being Spence, but I could see the probability of upsetting Spence. Charlo's too tough, too rough for him. He doesn't beat Charlo. He doesn't. All his ability to readjust doesn't mean anything. Charlo, in my opinion, will walk right through him like a hot knife through butter. He will be, and not only that. The fact that hurts him, he's 36 years old.
First of all,
he's 36 years old. Go on.
Charlo's have anything with problem that moves around. Charlo has
problems. Crawford will not be able to move around enough at that age and that weight, in my opinion. At that age and that weight, he doesn't have enough. I don't know. Come on, gang. Talk to me.
I don't really agree. I mean, I don't agree 100% with GW. You think he easily beats Spence?
I think it's a 50-50 fight with Spence. I think if he beats Spence and he beats Spence convincingly, then I know he has the strength to beat a junior middleweight like Charlo. Because to me, Errol Spence is the strongest fighter
out there. GW, if he beats Spence, the move is you come back to Spence. You got to touch Spence. We can have a trilogy. He got to come back to Spence. Now he does that. He's 37, 38 years old. He really doesn't do nothing with Charlo at that age.
I got to be honest. I am not impressed with Charlo at all. I think Charlo, both of them, I'm not impressed at all. To me,
this is not about boxing ability at that weight. It's about the stronger, tougher guy. And boxing has nothing to do because Crawford will not be as strong, especially with a weigh-in on a Friday. He won't be as strong. He's getting older, so there's a loss of speed. And coming off, let's say, two fights with Spence, you know, it's going to be a little wear and tear on the body. I don't see him beating Spence, but, you know, like I said, in my opinion, there's only five guys that ever entered the ring you weren't going to beat. The first Ali, the first Tyson, Sugar Ray Robinson at 147, Duran at 135, and when we can never forget that, you know, Ray Leonard only lost one big fight, that first fight to Duran. But it's not about ability when he fights Charlo. It's about being bigger, stronger, and tougher. And I think, I could be wrong, but I think Charlo will be too tough for him. I don't see him beating Spence, so that's the fight we ain't got to worry about happening. But if it would happen, he's just too big, too strong, too tough. And he comes from the same, let's say, tough ghetto mindset that Crawford has, because that's the bullshit that's not going to work on Charlo. You know, he's the guy in the tougher, bigger, badder gang, in my opinion.
He doesn't have any ability. The thing about Charlo is people don't realize. These guys, Charlo, if you watch his fight, he does not have – he's a B-level fighter, man. Like, he's not – he doesn't have the – if you watch how tight he is when he fights a boxer, like this guy, Brian, what's his name that he fought, Tony Harrison? I mean, this is nothing. This is not something that's
– I can concur with you, but Crawford's not going to be as elite then – as he is now, if it gets to that. He's not going to be the same guy after fighting Spence. He's going to have to fight Spence again. There's going to be a rematch. He's not going to be the same elusive, deaf. And the big thing he's going to have against him is, well, the three things, his age, okay, the fights, and Charles still going to be younger. He's going to be tougher. He can win the fight. But, it's not a walk in the park.
I think Crawford's ever going to fight Charlo. Primes are different now. Prime years, I don't – when I see fighters,
in their mid-30s, I don't even consider that even close to their, like, it's like just the start of their prime at 35.
But that depends on the fighter. Everybody's not an Archie Moore, G-Dub.
Everybody.
How many
now,
Archie Moores do we have? How many George Foremans do we have? I mean, even give some credit to T-Hop.
Doc, listen. First of all,
Doc Talk Radio, Trusted Garbage Network, Lady A, Awful Artie, GW, Mike. Knicks win 111-105. It's a 1-1 series. They play again Saturday. Randall played. He'll be back. No Jimmy Butler tonight, but he'll be back on Saturday. Knicks are alive. We should be getting update score two on this Laker and Golden State game. But it's just boxing here. The first lady of the sweet science, the Ollie of her kind, GW Mike, baby. Enough said, baby. GW.
Doc,
greatest worthy and awful. Go ahead, ladies and gentlemen. Come on. Go.
86-76, less than 5 minutes left in the game.
86-76?
Yeah.
Who's winning?
Hold on, they're getting ready to show the score again. They're getting ready to score the score again. Hold on. I'll tell you right now. Lakers, 86, Golden State, 76. Third quarter, less than 5 minutes left in the quarter.
Okay, live from L.A., from the First Lady of the Sweet Science, the First Lady. Okay, Mari Mark, okay, everybody, let's keep going, babe. We got some time. I got you here tonight. It's a great night. Last Monday was the Monday of Mondays. This is the Tuesday Sports In Depth, Block Talk Radio, Trust in God Radio, the First Lady. We're talking boxing with the best people who ever talked about it. Come on, gang, don't stop. Awful Artie, the First Lady, Lady A, and GW Mike. Come on, gang, talk to me, baby.
Even if Crawford beat Spence, I still don't think Crawford will ever fight Charlo. Spence will fight Charlo, whether he has a loss or not, because he's definitely going to go up to 154 after this fight.
Yeah, what I'm saying, Artie, if he would go after the weigh and he's back down 147, Charles damn near 160. Too big, too strong, too tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like I said, I don't see Crawford. See, the thing is, even if Crawford beats Spence, it's not going to elevate Crawford's career the way it was supposed to be. It's just going to be, they'll never give him his recognition. He'll beat the man. But at the end of the day, he's still never going to be that draw because he'll just – it's kind of like when Austin Trout beat Cotto. People don't remember that. You know, Austin Trout beat Cotto, and then where did it end up after that? You know what I mean? It's going to be like because when Cotto went up the way, he had a reinvigorated career. Spence will lose to Crawford, but he'll go up. And he'll reinvigorate his career for another 2 or 3 years by beating Charlo, beating this one. And then Crawford got his big note, got his big money, welterweight kingpin, and then he'll slowly retire after that thing happens. He just won't get his recognition, even if he beats Spence to a pull. It's just, it doesn't matter. It's a lose-lose for Crawford because if he loses, then, he's too old. But if he wins, he's still not going to get recognition. He's gonna win the welterweight crown, and then he'll stay there, and then he slowly retires. Whereas Spence, I lost the welterweight title. Now it's time to go up, and then if he wins at 154, another elevation. Just don't see Crawford getting his recognition, no matter what. Even though I think he should.
I mean, so you're saying he's a can't lose position, but why would he not get it if he beats Spence? If you beat Spence, that's recognition enough for him, don't you think?
I think he should, but they will never label him as the people's champ because of his journey.
I know
what I'm trying to say?
I hear what you're saying, but I think this fight, sincerely, I'm not even kidding around, this fight is going to be such a great fight.
I hope so.
The winner's going to cut. This has the styles. Have the making for a serious fight.
I really hope so, man.
But the thing is going to come down to, my biggest thing is like this. If Terrence Crawford has enough power to keep Errol Spence at bay.
People don't even know who fucking Terrence Crawford is, but they know who Jake Paul is. That's the problem.
Well, that's the box. I mean, that's just,
That's the whole point. The fan base, it's who they recognize as who the people's champions are today. You know?
But that's been going on. That's been going on for a while, though. I remember times when me and GW Mike would be going to fights. Remember GW? We go to the Triple G fights. How long did it take his name to go up the ladder?
Another example.
GW, I remember me and you 4 or 5 fights in a year, and this guy still wasn't getting the recognition he deserved. Man.
I know.
Come on, GW. Come on, talk to me.
I know. And that guy was a hell of a fighter, too.
Come on, bro. Me and you would be sitting there like, what is wrong with people, right?
Right.
No. Remember at the Lemieux fight? You and I sitting at the Lemieux fight looking at this guy like,
are
you serious?
That was a pay-per-view fight.
Yeah, we were like, what?
That was
like,
a pay-per-view fight.
Come on, man.
Triple G was it's too bad because Triple G, I wish he had a couple of other big fights besides the Canelo fights because, you know, I just feel that they were great for him. They weren't, you know, his career is going to get defined off those fights, you know.
Give me a break. And Doc and I were talking about Canelo. Doc and I were sitting there still looking at the whole Trout fight. We were like, are you for real? That fight was something we were like, what? Remember that fight, Doc?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Doc, you were sitting there like, wait, remember when we went to the Trout fight?
Yeah.
With Canelo, we were like, what? There was a few fights that you and I were at, like, I don't think you should have won that fight with the scorecards the way they were. Remember, Doc?
That always had
trouble. Yeah. No, what happened, the Trout fight, they acted like he was the champ and Trout wasn't.
Right.
You know what I mean? They act like when Trout knocked him down that he knocked him out. But, you know, the powers to be, you know, he was a guy that you can never, ever forget the great populace and following, you know, of the Latin boxing fan, which is the most revered and most intelligent of the boxing fans are the smartest fans in the world because they have to know their homework. They have to study. It's not like football where you're inundated with stats during the football season, the baseball. Never forget. And Davey Moore, legendary Gleason's gym. I'm watching Cholo, and I look down. There's a guy standing at the bottom of the ring. As I come down, he says, he's always been my fighter. I know the guy's got to be from Panama. I said, where are you from? So he's going to say Cologne. He said, you know, I'm from Guyana. Here's a guy from Guyana saying a guy from Panama has always been his fighter. Is Bang, legendary Billy Bang Bang's father, telling me when Duran and Leonard are going to fight, we're talking about a black man in Bedford Stuyvesant, and Jake said, hey, Mel, don't you go think that boy can beat Duran. The boxing fan. Go ahead, Lady A.
But, Doc, what about Edis Landi Lara and Canelo Alvarez? How about that?
Lara beat Canelo.
Beat the crap out of him. And we were like,
he beat Canelo,
how did they get him this fight? How did they get Canelo that fight? A lot of times, Doc, remember you and I were watching AGW. Remember we talked about that fight?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Larry definitely won that fight. I thought he did.
Come on, man. We were like, come on. How is that even possible that you gave that fight to Alvarez? No way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but once again, that's boxing. That's just the way, and that's why people tune out like that more now.
It was a draw. One thing about the Cuban fighters, they won big fights. They could have won, but they just never had the draw. Look at it. Regan Dow, Lara, King Kong, Ortiz. They won the big fight.
I'll tell you something right now. Here's the one thing I do have to say about King Kong Ortiz.
Yep. We talked about this the other day.
I still think, sincerely, if you put King Kong Ortiz in his prime, when he was like when he knocked out Jennings before Deontay beat him.
Nobody beats him.
I think he's the only person that really stood a chance against Tyson Fury right now.
Yep.
Because he's the only one that has that technical aspect, you know, that amateur pedigree. You know,
beat Wilder with that late
count. But GW, that's Cuban fighters. But, I mean, look at Teofilo back in the day when they wanted that fight with Ali. They wanted him to fight Ali.
I know.
We never saw it.
No.
You know what happened? It's funny that you talk about that. They said Castro flew Cholo into Cuba, and they're having dinner, and he said, what do you think Theophilo's chances are against Ali? And Duran said, Ali will kill him. They put Cholo on a plane right back to Panama. But King Kong
had a chance to fight Joshua. And I think something happened. He didn't deal with the money. And you saw what happened when Joshua fought the Mexican kid. That fight, after Big, the guy's name, blew it, they, if I'm correct, they offered Kong to be the replacement, and he turned it down. And now we can see how dumb he was on that. He beats Joshua. He becomes the champion. And, you know, it's remarkable, not to me, but, you know, so you also see the ability he had beyond just the stereotype of being a kid. And he's still, if he's still around, he still has an outside chance to, you know, to find somebody to sleep on him to wind up winning that title, I think. Your thoughts, gang?
Definitely. Listen, he's at a point in his career now. You know, he just gave Ruiz a good fight. It's just that, you know, I think at this point in the game, he just, the timing is just not there anymore. And he'll get people, he'll always be able to beat somebody in the top 10. But right now, the players in the game, you know, I don't think anybody's beating the Gypsy King anytime soon. He's just got way too much height. He's, you know, he's horrible. He's the only thing he got right now, too. I mean, sincerely, Joshua's pathetic right now. He's disgusting.
Oh, God, yeah. Totally pathetic.
Oh, my God. Usyk is way too small. I like Usyk. I think he's good, but he's too small.
Well, Joshua has proven to be, in the words of the incomparable legendary man working, perpetrating the fraud. And we saw that right away. He comes to America, Madison Square Garden, loses.
Joshua's the modern-day Frank Bruno.
Oh, GW,
and in this day and age, Frank Bruno is the only person that you and this is the only era that you could recollect, you know, make Frank Bruno the man. Seriously. And the other thing is, too, the guys that goes to show you, was Anthony Joshua really that good, or is Vladimir Klitschko really that bad? That's the big question. Yeah.
Well, you know, and Klitschko was on the downhill side, and the thing that hurt Klitschko more than anything else, and Marion Boykin said this one night, he said, in every major fight, Emmanuel Stewart should be in both corners. And Klitschko didn't have Emmanuel in his corner that night. I remember our legendary friend Eddie Cotton told me tonight that Lewis was fighting Mike Tyson. If you notice that fight, he was very apprehensive the first 5 or 6 rounds. And then he came back to the corner, and Emmanuel told him, what are you doing? You're fighting like a little bitch. You know? And he went out. So the difference in that fight was Emmanuel Stewart, who I miss dearly, my dear friend. And, you know, like I said, Joshua has proven to be perpetrating the fraud. He beat Klitschko because, and you know, Klitschko, Emmanuel Stewart was the key to Klitschko's success. He was the key to Lennox Lewis' success. With no Emmanuel Stewart, there's no champion. And the validation
excuse
of that.
Me, excuse me, you missed somebody else. Tommy
Who
Hearns.
Who else did I miss? Who?
Tommy Hearns.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, lady, forgive me. Forgive me.
Okay.
Forgive me. You're right. I remember the night that when he fought Ray Leonard, Emmanuel told Tommy.
Period, end of story. Tommy Hearns, period, end of story.
Hey, can we move on, please?
Come on now. Come on.
That's why she's the greatest. Go ahead, gang. Keep it great, baby. Sports in Depth. It's a Tuesday into a Wednesday now. The best ever duo to hear. We're talking about the Sweet Science. We just went into Wednesday. It's talking about boxing, and we talked Spence. We talked Crawford. We talked Charlo. We talked Ali Frazier. We're talking everything, and the best to ever do it. And I understand these are the Golden Eagles, and everybody else are porcelain cage canaries. Lady A, awful Artie. Glad to have you in the family, too. And DW Mike, talking to Sweet Science. Come on, gang. Keep it going. Hey, keep it going.
Canelo has no reason to have a rematch with Bilbao. I don't think Canelo could beat Bilbao in a rematch. He should just stay away from that.
Well, the one thing, Canelo, I will say one thing about Canelo. Canelo has fought everybody. And I give credit for wanting to win. You know what I mean?
Understand it, but
That's a serious fighter. That's a big boy. So basically, you're fighting the cruiserweight. If you think about it, after rehydration.
I told you about Bivol. I told everybody about Bivol about 5 years ago.
The other guy heavyweight. He's getting old too. He's about 38 now, Doc. Light heavyweight showdown with him and Bivol. That I don't think that's ever going to happen either.
Well,
two undefeated Russian champions for the undisputed heavyweight championship. Why would you have that in America?
I think he beats him easy.
I know, but the point is, that's a fight that, you know, that's one fight that no one even talked about.
Okay, here's the question. Can it happen?
They won't allow it. First of all, they won't allow it because of probably what's going on in the world right now. They'll probably boycott it.
Tremendous point. Wow. Tremendous. You know what? You just validated, Artie. You just validated. Let me have this line, you know. Ready? Here we go. And with the in-depth knowledge and diverse intellect of Doc's iconic posse, Sports in Depth is true. The world in depth. Artie, you just brought that line to life and gave it the credibility and validity that it's here. And with the in-depth knowledge and diverse intellect, because it's not just sports and boxing here, of Doc's iconic, sports in depth is true, the world in depth. And that's a tremendous point. It's something that's right in front of us, and we're so busy looking that we don't see it. Tremendous point, Artie. Thank you. Wow. Tremendous point.
Two undefeated light heavyweight champs, Russian for undisputed title, not talked about, and there was probably no demand because of what's going on the other side of the world. I mean, think about it. But Mike, you're right. Bivol probably beats him.
The other thing is, too, you know, I feel bad for these Russian fighters. We have
a Russian, man. It's not their fault that they engage.
We have a Russian fighter right now that is proud of the motherland, Russia. And he wasn't allowed to wear the Russian flag into the ring for his last fight. They told him no. And, you know, the promoter wasn't allowed to.
Wow.
It's what it is, you know.
You know what? You know, let's Doc Stanley Sports Net Blog Talk Radio Trust Government. I remember my late dear friend and Lady A, our Jose Torres, and Torres was fighting the great Willie Pastrani for the light heavyweight championship of the world. And Eddie and Jose told him, look, before the fight, I'd like you to play the Puerto Rican national anthem. And he said, okay, don't worry about it. It's fight night. And knock on the door. Okay, Jose, get ready in 10 minutes. Oh, hey, and by the way, we won't be able to play the Puerto Rican national anthem because it had never been done before. And no other anthem was played by the man. And hold on, immediately, stop. If there's no Puerto Rican national anthem played, there's no fight happening. That was the time in the history of boxing that another anthem was played outside the national anthem. Jose Torres against Willie Pastrani when he won the light heavyweight champion of the world. And that was the first time the anthem outside the national anthem was played. Jose Torres was the one that implemented that. He should be given credit for that as an outstanding writer, too, and boxing commissioner. But he said, I want the Puerto Rican national anthem played, and if it don't get played, you don't have to worry about playing anything. I'm not coming out there. Just thinking about, you know, nationalities and flags and stuff, because nowadays he plays everybody's anthem. But it was Jose Torres at Madison Square Garden that the first time ever a national anthem from another country was played, and that night he beat, and Willie Pastrani's corner was a guy who was going to become quite famous down the line, our buddy there, Lady A, and you too, D-Dub, Angelo Dundee. Angelo Dundee was training Willie Pastrani the night that Jose Torres became the first Puerto Rican light heavyweight champion of the world, and it was thought in Ali's Apex that he had the tools to give Ali a good run. Our late dear friend, trained by Custy Amato, Jose Torres, more than him in just boxing. Doc Stanley Sports Network, Block Talk Radio, Trust Guard Network. Gang, let's keep it rolling. Let's go.
Okay, I still got you, Lady A.
10 minutes and 32 seconds. 98-92, Los Angeles Lakers.
How much time left, Lady A?
Ten minutes and 21 seconds. Fourth quarter.
Oh, 10 minutes?
Yeah, 10 minutes and 21 seconds. Fourth quarter.
Oh, that's a lot of time. That's a lot of time. Me and you now too. I lost G Dub and Artie. Doc Sandy Sports Net, Block Talk Radio, the Trust in God Radio Network. Lady A is with us here, and she'll be with us. I guess, you know, when you go, let me know, Lady A. We got Lady A. These are some fights I've always wanted to shoot at you. Now that I got you here, Doc Sandy Sports Net, Block Talk Radio, and the Trust in God Radio Network. Let's do a quick plug. We'll be back with the first lady of the Sweet Science, the incomparable, the legendary. Oh, yeah. Lady A. Michael Bellamy.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
Lady A.
Doc, before you ask me that, I meant to ask you real quick. Did you ever reach out to Buck's show with us?
Yeah, Danny, shout a word out to him. In fact, I just be seeing Buck pretty soon. I got to wonder what Dustin in there. You know, I'm glad you said that. Want to salute. Lady A, you're on the money. My man George Santiago from Major League Baseball sent me something the other day. In fact, it is the other day as we are now into Wednesday. But he sent me something. Darren Baker remembered as a little boy that J.T. Snow pulled out of the way when he was trying to get a bat in a game. And Darren, Dusty Baker's son, famous for that, but he just sent me something that Darren, who is now, ironic enough, in the Nationals organization, where the dad was the manager, and for the month of May, in the minor leagues, Darren Baker, player of the month, he scored 11 runs, 31 hits, one home run, 6 RBIs, and a .348 batting average. Darren Baker, the legendary Dusty Baker, minor league player of the month, .348 batting average, 8 RBIs, 1 homer, 31 hits, and 11 scored runs. Darren, we salute you, baby. Evidently, you know something about them bats. It's ironic that he's with the Nationals organization where his dad once managed. But once again, we salute Darren Baker, player of the month in the minor leagues, and the batting average of .348, 6 RBIs, a home run, 31 hits, and 11 scored runs. Batting in the leadoff spot, too. Dan, we salute you, man. We got to put this up on the thing, too, so we'll have that for you. Doc Stanley, Sports Net, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust in God Radio Network. So, Lady A, you know, we're going to – go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you because I wanted to find out what if you had anything further on
the Scherzer
situation.
What situation?
The Scherzer situation. Remember?
Yeah. We're getting some updates for you on that, so don't worry about that. I got a chance here. You know, so many times I kept saying, Dag, you need to be in the show. So we got you here. GW Mike, Awful Artie. They went back into the studio. It was good to hear June talk. It was good to hear the voice of late Mel Cosell. Little Rooney Smith.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, Lady A, now, real quickly, let me do this plug so I can get – give me – hold on. What's the latest on that basketball score, Lady A? Fact, please.
The Golden State Warriors just scored again, but they're on a commercial right now. I'll let you know when they score back.
10-4.
Yeah,
okay, 10-4, no problem.
That's the 9 minutes left, though.
Yeah, but they only got a 5-point lead, and they're playing in L.A., if I'm correct. Golden State, man, you look at that game. Golden State just won last Sunday, and they won big this Sunday. They won by 1 point one game, and then next week they win by 20 points. What a difference a day makes. Steph Curry, first player to score 50 points in the seventh game of the NBA playoffs, the unanimous winner of the MVP a couple of years ago, 4 championships, I think 2 finals MVPs. You know,
tell you this, Doc. I think people are sleeping on Golden State. Honestly.
I don't think so. You know what I like? What me and Mary Boykin talked about was that, you know, Curry doesn't get the recognition as a complete guard. You know, everybody talks about his long distance shooting, but, you know, he handles the ball well, okay? He can go inside, okay, and he can pass. I had made a statement. What happened was, Marion Boykin was listening to Stephen A. and company give their five greatest general consensus by the impact and accomplishment of the top five for the Russian, okay? Bill Russell, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Will Chamberlain, Michael Jordan, and LeBron James. Stephen A. went on to say that the next big change would be made at the center spot to better include a giant of a small man. And I told Marion, I said, well, you know what? They're looking to move Dipper to put Curry in there. And, so looking at Russell, Kareem, Curry, Jordan, and LeBron. And, I said, they're looking to put Curry in there. Hard list to beat. How strange with LeBron now with Russell, whom I believe he admitted. Still, Oscar has to be there. And he made the comment that, that Wilbon, he said, what he said? Yeah, I think when they put together their supposed greatest five, it's not necessary that they can't be beat by another team of great players, but that they're great accomplishments in the game and that they are beyond comparison and reproach as to an overall assessment of the very best. It's really not your five against my sort of thing. I believe that perhaps Chamberlain will be the next one to go, substituting a great big man for a great little man, at least from the five greatest that they all pretty much chose above. Wilbon didn't mention Oscar's greatness, but did not fight them with his replacement being LeBron James. Like Jordan, just too much accomplishment to argue about. He said an honest and unbiased analysis, and I'm sure he knows Oscar's stats very well, like you, off the top of his head. So I think they are truly looking at Steph as he meets all the requirements, clearly the greatest small man of his time and the greatest of all time in some other ways, and still counting. Even though Magic and Kobe have five titles, just one more than him, he balances that out in other noteworthy accomplishments, and that can't be overlooked. You wouldn't go wrong with any of them as they are close enough in other accomplishments, but digging down to the nitty-gritty is another thing as to hard choices being made. Anyway, whoever is the next person to join the five-man club, and I personally like that exclusively to keep it pure and not just another Hall of Fame, it seems like they would be joining Jordan in that exclusive backcourt. And only a white boy would mention Bird as to just his elite level of greatness. But what we're talking about here, Bird's greatness is just not great enough. Doc's either, truth be told. If you got Russell and LeBron as forwards, as mentioned above, honestly, just whose spot would Bird take? Tough choices for some, clear as a bell for most. Maybe there should be just a greatest five and then your personal greatest five. And, that was you know, his setup. I had said that it's hard to top Julius's top five. On Stephen A. Snow, he said, my top five are the same top five I had since 15 years old. And I understand and applaud what Jordan, Bird, and Magic did. But my top five, he says, is Russell, Chamberlain, Baylor, my favorite player, Jerry West, and Oscar Robertson. I don't see anybody, Lady A, beating that top five.
You said he put Chamberlain in there, or he didn't put Chamberlain in?
No, yeah, he said it Russell, Chamberlain. So right there, I got 44 rebounds a game. Baylor, okay, who gives me another 13 rebounds and 27 points. West, who gives me 27 points, and Oscar Robertson, another 25 points. Now, the all-time NBA All-Star team was Bird, Duncan, Kareem, Magic, and Jordan. Well, West and Oscar outdo Magic and Jordan. Okay, so Mike scores three more points than West at 27, but Oscar at 25 scores six more than Magic.
In the middle, you got Kareem. If I put Chamberlain in the middle, I got 30 points and 22 rebounds. If I put Russell in the middle, I got 16 points and 22 rebounds against Jabbar. If I go up front now, Baylor against Duncan at 19-10 is 6 more points and 3 more rebounds. And Bird, if you want to put Bird against Russell, so he's got 8 more points, but Russell's got 12 more rebounds. If I put Chamberlain up front, okay, I've got 6 more points than Bird and 12 more rebounds. And, you know, who's coming down the middle? If you get past Russell, there's Chamberlain. If you get past Chamberlain, there's Russell. I just don't see anybody beating that team. Now, if you want me to select a different five, let's say Oscar Robertson's got to be in my back. I don't care about Jordan, Kobe, and Magic. I love Irving. I love Irving. Overrated. No jump shot. No jump shot. Isaiah was a better guard than both Jordan.
I was going to say Isaiah, but then you said you would keep Jerry West at a two?
No. Two? I'm saying era of West, no, in the era of Magic, Jordan, and Isaiah. Isaiah was the best pure guard. His handle was just as good as Magic,
okay, so
better than Jordan's.
You're saying off the bat, we'll leave it out. Irvin, we're leaving out. I mean, off the bat, we're leaving out Dr. J.
When Dr. J was Dr. J, my all-time five, I got Dr. J up front with Elgin Baylor. Understand the NBA saw Dr. J the first year, the year that he won the MVP in the All-Star game, even though his team lost, and he took his team to the finals. Okay, and then they didn't pass the ball to him, you know, to win the damn game. So that's the only time the NBA saw Dr. J. After that, we saw Julius Erving on nights that he was Dr. J again. But when the Julius Erving, they came out of the ABA, okay, in that first year, he's my starting forward up front along with Elgin Baylor. Now in the middle.
And you wouldn't take Gervin. Gervin wouldn't even be there.
Who?
George Gervin.
Well, Gervin in the backcourt. Well, in my backcourt.
The Iceman, you want to put him in any of those?
Well, he's on my team, but my starting backcourt has got to be, Oscar's got to be the starting backcourt guy with Jordan. If you want Jordan, you know what I'm going to do now? You know what I'm going to do now? I'm going to take Curry. I'm going to put Curry in the backcourt with Oscar. I'm going to put Chamberlain in the hole, and I got Dr. J and Elgin Baylor up front. Now, I'm going to take guys that you're not going to take, and Bill Russell wouldn't feel bad about this because he won the MVP one year, and he said, you know, I won the MVP, but I was second string All-NBA. So I got Russell. Now, if I really want to finish you off, this is what I do, lady. If I really want to finish you off, I put Russell, just bullshit power forward. I put Baylor at the small forward. I put my backcourt is Oscar and Elgin Baylor, Chamberlain in the hole, Russell at the power forward, and Dr. J at the small forward. You're not doing them that team. And Dr. J is Dr. J. Russell, because people forget, you know, Julius was Pitt. He was sort of go to Milwaukee. You know, he thought about it. He said, you know, the guy, chef, the guy, I see his face. He said, you ever thought you said, well, if I went to Milwaukee? You know, I remember asking him about that. He said, you know, well, Kareem didn't like Milwaukee. But imagine Julius Erving, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Oscar Robertson on the same team. Rebound by Jabbar, out to Oscar, Oscar to Erving, bam. And, you know, and the Bucks won 66 games. You know, I don't know how Larry Costello didn't play to win 70 games. They swept the Bullets. So what's the big deal? You know, they should have won. But, yeah. But you know, Duncan, I think, is another guy that's vastly overrated. How are you the greatest power forward? And all you get is 10 rebounds a game. And understand, he's a center playing forward.
Hold up. What about David Robinson? You wouldn't put him in any of those either?
Okay, if I have to pick a 12-man team, no.
Okay.
No, my the centers ahead of him is Okay, the big three, Chamberlain, Russell.
Olajuwon is out of there too,
Olajuwon's got to be there. And a guy that nobody talks about. In fact, before you came on, I talked about the forgotten five, the forgotten great five, okay? Nate Thurman in the middle, Bob Pettit 26-16 up front, Elgin Baylor 27-13 in the backcourt, Earl the Pearl Monroe, and Pistol Pete. Nobody talks about Pistol. Nobody talks about Pistol.
I was just going to mention him to you, too. I mean,
nobody talks about Pistol at all. You know?
That's like nobody talks about Garvin. That's what I just said to you. Now,
people forget it. Now, I remember at the house when Julius was still living in Long Island and still in net, and I said, you know, Jewel, who's the player that's going to surprise everybody next year? And he said, well, they know about me and know about George, because George McGinnis had just been signed by the Philadelphia. He was the leading scoring forward in the NBA. The Knicks had a big press conference. They tried to snatch him. Because I remember going to the press conference and some nonsense came down and he had to go to Philly. He said, they know about me and know about George. He said, but Ice is the guy that's going to surprise him. And to this day, only Michael Jordan has more scoring titles as a guard position. Ice came in there, man. Ice had a game. I remember he said he was leading the league in scoring, and they called him and said, hey, man, David Thompson just took the scoring. He scored 73 points. I said, man, he said those runs must have been as big as garbage can tops, you know. And he came to the game, and he said, well, you know, hey, he did it. George Gervin, Doug Moe, another great guy, called him and said, Ice, man, we're going to get to that scoring title. He said, hey, coach, now we're trying to win the game. All the teammates say, Ice, man, we're getting you that scoring title. Gervin scored 63 points in three quarters and sat down and won the scoring title. Yeah. Yeah, you know, when you talk, he's in your top seven, top ten of greatest guards of all time. You know, without question. You know, the finger roll. You know, he was a forward that went to the guard spot. Yeah, but I think more people have forgotten about Pete than they do Ice. You know, but he's been on that squad. But we were just talking about it earlier before you came. Dr. Stanley Sports, the Blog Talk Radio, Trusted Guard Network. We got a good 2 minutes here, lady. Ice. Like I said, I have a pair of sneakers in my Trust and Guard in Sports and Depth Entertainment Hall of Fame. You're right. But Julius told me, Lady A, Julius told me that Ice was the guy that was going to surprise everybody. And he won, what, four scoring championships? And David Thompson talked about that, too. He said, you know, and Al Skinner talked about, you know, how guys had a little attitude because they, you know, you went to college, you wouldn't boom, but all of a sudden they're in the NBA. And we're in the ABA. George McGinnis told me, I said, what's the difference between the NBA and the ABA? He said, CBS, okay? And David Thompson said, you know, when I was in the ABA, I made second team All-ABA. Made second team. My first year in NBA, I made first team All-NBA, and my team won the division. The Denver Nuggets, we won our division. And if you went across the board, okay, Julius made first team. Every team, the team in the finals, was Julius with two ABA players, him and McGinnis. The glue to the Portland Trailblazers was the late, great Maurice Lucas. And you went across the board, and ABA players were the key to success. Gervin won the scoring championship his first year, so the ABA player won the scoring championship. Julius won the MVP in the All-Star game, all right? Him and George McGinnis, the All-Pro, and Maurice Lucas is the key to the Portland Trailblazers winning the first NBA-ABA championship. And then you look at the other guys, that David Thompson and his team won their conference. He was first-team All-NBA, and the Denver Nuggets won their division. So it was just sad that they could get a TV contract. But, Dr. Stanley Sports and Depth, Blog Talk Radio, Trusted Government. But I was just thinking when Artie brought it up, and I said, well, you know, you look about, you know, Lady A, how does nobody talk about Bob Pettit? 26-16. I like to see Mr. Pettit. Wish I could have went to that 75. 26-16, Lady A, career. Career. Okay, 4 points away from 30 and 4 points away from 20 rebounds. And if you put him up against Duncan at 19-10, he's got me six more rebounds okay, and he's got me 7 more points. You put him up against Bird, he's got 3 more points and 6 more rebounds. He was a starter in every All-Star game he played in. Him, Dr. J, and Jerry West. The only 3 guys that can say that. But nobody talks about it. Elgin Baylor, 27-13. He had an 18-rebound season. He had a 19-rebound season. The first guy to score 70 points in the game. Still the NBA playoff record of 63 points. Nobody talks about Elgin Baylor. Nate Thurman. Jabbar said he was the toughest guy that defended him. Nobody talks about Nate. Julius, who played with Pete because the Hawks signed him, said, I said, Jew, how was it playing with Pete? He said, the ball was always there. He said, you know, sometimes we did one-on-one for dinners, and sometimes I paid for dinner, and sometimes he paid for dinner. You know, but no, nobody talks about Pete anymore. And then, you know, what about Earl or Pearl? They said Earl did on the ground what Dr. J did in the air, you know. But no, those are some guys. And now we add to that team George Gervin. We add to that team George Gervin, and we could add Tiny Archibald to that team. You know, Frazier, Walt Frazier's about that really forgotten. A lot of that because in New York and he doesn't broadcast it. But you know, I thought about that's a hell of a forgotten team. You know, that's a hell of a squad. It's a hell of a squad. Dr. Stanley Sports at Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Godhead Network. We've got a good few minutes. Lady A, who wins? Well, I think I don't think anybody beats Mike Tyson at his best outside of Muhammad Ali. Your thoughts?
I don't know. I mean, you can't discount guys like Liston either, Doc. You know, I mean, come on.
You're a genius. You know, Liston. You know, him and Joe Louis had jabs that would knock you out. You're right. That would knock you out. And I said, if he didn't fight Cassius Clay, he still would have been heavyweight champ of the world. No question. He had the jab. In fact, he was the most feared heavyweight in the world until he got incarcerated on some bullshit. But, yeah, I think the thing is, though, the first Mike Tyson, and we get caught up later, the first Mike Tyson was so defensively hard to hit, he gets inside and hits Liston. He can get inside defensively, the jab, whoop, and work the body. So,
well, the thing is, remember, he started coming in and he decided he was gonna come in. I mean, great head movement, speed was just ridiculous, you know. And when he hit you hit you.
You talking Liston?
Tyson.
Tyson, yeah. I mean, now, am I right, lady? You're losing punching power by hitting down.
Right. Well, here's the thing too. I think they had done an interview with Larry Holmes,
mm-hmm.
and because Larry Holmes wasn't going to come back, and then he got offered the money. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it, you look at guys like that stepped in the room. He got all these knockouts when he was coming up. I mean, everybody always talks about Trevor Burbank because they say he looked like he's breakdancing, right? Every time he's trying to get up. After he got hit a few times by Tyson. But when Tyson hits you, if you look at him and you do a comparative analysis between him and Muhammad Ali, I mean, they're neck and neck with the same thing, right? Like you said, the speed of Maserati, you know, with the authority and strength of a Mack truck, right?
Yes, Ali and Jim Brown and I guess you could do that with the first Tyson, okay?
Correct. And again, of course, we're talking about before. We're both on the same page, right? We're talking about before incarceration, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Okay. I think. If you were to put them side by side, there are very few things that they had that they had that was different between them, Doc. I mean, as far as like fundamentals that they were sounding the fundamentals.
And the point you bring up, I got to do this real quick. Let me do this closer. They both were students of the game. Hold on, Lady A. Let me do this. Come on, Larry.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
No, lady, let me do this other thing. What is that? With Dr. Elvin Doc Stanley, Senior Sports Project members, Lady A, E.W. Mike Marshall, Artie, Roberto June, T.K. Ortiz, and Danny Football. Sports In Depth is an in-depth, informative, educational, local look at the world of sports on this is renowned and legendary award-winning radio show, Sports In Depth. The fashion for both a daily and historical perspective, bringing also both in-depth look and perspective, not only on the sports of our time, but two of the players, performers, that events are both now and yesteryear. Sports In Depth Blue, a.k.a. SNS Depth, brings us unique strategies of sports perspective, and just athletics, because it takes raw, God-given talent and conditioning, who takes a God-blessed mind filled with passion, determination, intellect, and accomplishment too. With in-depth knowledge and diverse intellect, Doc's iconic posse, Depth is through the world in depth. Thanks for joining us once again, where we always rope the rumors, talk tie the issues, and lasso the truth. It's amazing how people complain that both they don't have time and that they are too running out of time. Don't you get tired of motherfuckers that have a million reasons why they can't do one little thing? You can't get to heaven if you don't leave here. And I'm sorry it don't mean shit when both the deal is done and done to you. You can't get back a loss. A loser win. Doc Stanley, words of wisdom and truth, a.k.a. Juice Luigi, words of wealth. And now, the mic on, lights off, is Lady A. Doc Stanley, Sports In Depth, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust in God Radio Network. Mic on, lights off, in these closing minutes, the First Lady of the Sweet Science, the one and only, the incomparable, the legendary, Lady A. Doc Stanley, Sports In Depth, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust in God Radio Network. Okay, we've got that out the way, Lady A. Back to you in these last moments before they cut us off. And, you know, you brought a good point here, Lady A, that I never – wow. You know, yeah, Tyson, like Ali and Jim Brown, the Mack truck with the speed and the ability of a Porsche. Tremendous point.
Yeah, but I was just highlighting – more so also fundamentally how sound it was, because we were just talking earlier with DW Mike and Artie about how, you know, a lot of these fighters also now that don't have those fundamentals and
yeah.
aren't as strong fundamentally. So then, you know, they get exploited. Ergo, what he was mentioning, why I said, you know, it's the ability to adapt in the fight that allow you to be supreme, right, and reign supreme. And,
yeah, well, you know, the fundamental, that was the thing they said about Cooney was so valuable to Tyson because he was part of the custom auto school, so he knew the system.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
And that was what made him invaluable.
And since you mentioned Ali, I said, well, comparatively speaking, you put the two of them, they were both sound, you know, fundamentally, and also defensively, if you look at how Tyson was with the head movement, and how Ali was so graceful, moving from side to side.
That's what made you so mad about Tyson. You couldn't hit that little sucker, but he could hit you.
Correct. And again, what do judges look for? Ring generalship, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you weren't able to hit him, he still, at some point, was going to hit you, and you were going to know you.
and hit you hard.
Correct. So again, you know, like he said, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. You know?
Yeah, then everything changes.
Then everything changes.
Yeah, the game plan's out the way, you know. Hey, got my lunch money, I can't eat. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think
right.
We're about ready to go, Lady A. Lady A, thanks for being with us. We're going to close the show out. And thanks for being with us one more time. Dr. Danny Sports is at Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. My co-host, the one and only, incomparable, Lady A. Thank you, Lady A.
All right, Doc. Take it easy. All right, bye-bye.
Love you, girl. Ken, we will quickly, I think we're losing time here.
But Earth, Wind, and Fire.